that particular part of the show, why doing a, something like a free show is embarrassing in my real life.
Okay, good.
Because last night...
There's so many embarrassing things we've done, I can't imagine why that would be.
Oh, well, last night I had to go to a parents meeting at my son's school.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it was one of the... Because the parents get involved at my kid's school.
Right.
And normally my wife would handle that, but she's got a cold, she didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
She says, why don't you go to this? You never go to these things. So I said, all right, I'll go. Turned out it was like a two-hour-plus lecture.
Mm. Really?
About the dangers of teenagers drinking. I mean, all very important stuff. But, you know, boring. I'm sitting there listening to it and
stop it, Rob.
And it's just going on and on and on. And finally, I look at my watch. Finally, the thing is over, and it's 9 o'clock, and they're serving coffee, and they've got the little, like, finger sandwiches and stuff. And everybody's
coffee with little Baileys in it?
Everybody is gathering in the area right out front of the gymnasium.
Right.
And a bunch of the dads came over to where I was standing, and they all wanted to talk about the freak show.
Right.
And many of the dads wanted to discuss the guy who wanted to take the string and swallow it and actually have it come out his butt and pull it back and forth. And I was going through a very animated, detailed discussion with these guys.
So you were doing it because there are two ways you play it. Either you're kind of low-keying it or you're kind of jacked that the dads are really into the show and you're going to give them the nickel show.
And it was, I swear to Jesus, at that exact moment, I am actually bent over. I have a crowd of maybe six guys around me, dads, and I'm actually showing them how I pictured this would happen.
Sure.
So the guy's got the string here and he's got the other string here coming out his ass. And he pulls on the string here.
And it's going to go back and forth.
And it's like he's flossing his insides. And just as I'm going like this, I see, who's standing there? The principal of Bart's school. And he's just standing there looking at this. And now, from his perspective, he walks up, and all he sees is me with my knees bent. And I'm doing
kind of a Bart Simpson pose.
Yeah, and I'm doing a thing where I got a hand coming out of my butt. And
that kind of looks like the same signal you give to blind people at our show.
Very similar. And it's at that moment that he comes up and everybody sees him. And then these other dads that I'm talking to, they spray. It's like, they're gone.
Oh, great. All right, have a good show. See you later.
It's just me. And I said to the principal, I said, hi. Put my hand out. He shakes my hand. And he didn't say anything to me, so I felt obligated. And I said, listen, I was discussing something that might happen on my radio show. And he just put his hand up, and he got a little smile on his face and says, don't even want to hear it.
Oh, did he say it like
that? Yeah, don't even want to hear
so
it.
So condescending.
Well, no, he's cool. He's fine.
He's cool about it.
It was like he didn't want to be dragged into whatever muckety muck we're doing on the radio show. And then as soon as he walked away, some of those dads came right back up to me.
Sure. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, and that's when I said, listen.
Right.
You know, listen, guys, I'm not going to tell you this stuff if you're going to back away when the principal comes.
Right.
Well, that was mucho embarrassing last night.
Oh, my God. I can imagine.
Mucho embarrassing.
That's tough.
I did have a funny embarrassing moment today, though. I got a tape to play you. I'm out at Redskins Park because, I do the Redskins pregame show, and I'm out there to do my weekly interview with the star player of the week.
Right.
So the guy I'm going to be interviewing this week is Stephen Davis, who is the leading rusher in the NFL.
Terrific running back. He's had a great season for the Redskins.
Guy doesn't do a lot of interviews, so they say he's going to talk to you. I'm sitting up in this little private area where I'm waiting for Stephen Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting behind me, about 20 feet behind me, are a bunch of the Redskins linemen.
Yeah, big boys.
Who listen to this show? Guys like Corey Raymer, Brad Badger, the tight end, Stephen Alexander.
Was Andy Heck there?
Now, Andy Heck was not sitting with him, but I did see Andy Heck today.
I love that name. That's my favorite name of anybody that plays with it, because it's like, and now, ladies and gentlemen, please, we got Mariah Carey coming out later, but please welcome the comedy stylings of Mr. Andy Heck. I love that name because it sounds like really he ought to be, doing a comedy show in Vegas.
Oh, and you know about the Redskins. You hear the news? Who's been invited back to introduce him again this week?
Mr. Spiewak, I told you that would be a regular gig.
All right. He will be introducing the Redskins against the Buffalo Bills this weekend at Redskins Stadium.
All right. Rob, it's time to get a little guilt.
Well, I'm not going to ask for any money, but I am insisting on a trailer.
There
so I think
that'll
be excellent.
Trailer.
I'm very excited about
that's
that.
That's good.
So Rob's going back out to do that again.
That's wonderful.
Week.
That's great.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm interviewing this guy, Stephen Davis. And quite obviously, if you've ever heard the Redskins show that I do, well, it's a little avant-garde.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at all like this show. I mean, it's a real sports show. I put my own personality into it, but it's a sports show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a serious interview with this guy, Stephen Davis. And, well, here's the tape. It's when the lineman start to bust my balls behind my back, and it actually throws the interview for a moment.
Good.
So here I am with Stephen Davis.
When you were first a member of this team, when you were struggling to make the team, then in a backup role, what are you laughing at?
I'm listening to you. I'm just looking at them.
You're looking at them?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What were they saying something about you?
Yeah, they was talking about you, man.
They're talking about me?
Yeah, they was talking about you.
What were they saying about me? I know it's Corey Raymer and Brad Badger. What were they saying about me?
I don't know what he. I just heard him say your name.
Really,
Corey? What were you
saying about me, man?
We're making fun of you when your wife called you last week and or a couple weeks ago. What was that she called you? I forget.
She calls me and yells at me all the time, man.
That secret word you guys use in the confines of your house, but she kind of blabbed it out a little bit. I forget what it was. Something like snookums or something.
Oh, she calls me boo-boo.
Boo-boo, that's what it was.
You're not married, are you, Corey?
Not yet.
Try it for 18 years, my friend. Steve, sorry about that. You guys know that Steven was saying lots of nice stuff about you. Yeah, at that point, we had to stop the tape because now the big goofy lineman, now that they know that they've screwed up my big interview.
That is funny because you're asking him this really serious question, right. And he's just looking over your shoulder.
Well, he said that they were all, when I talked to Corey Raymer later, he said they were all trying to remember what the name was.
Boo Boo.
And that they were whispering stuff to Stephen Davis, like,
right.
Call him sweetheart, call him lover. So I was looking one-on-one at Stephen Davis,
oh,
and I saw
God.
Him look the other way.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
So that's...
That was my day at
risk. Oh, boy. Yeah. So did you just have to start the whole thing over again?
No. And I'm going to run that part on the Redskin show on Sunday also.
Good.
Why the hell not?
Oh, man. What was the facial expression when you say try it for 18 years? Just
those
a
guys,
big goofy grin?
Yeah, and they're all laughing, yeah. You know, because, you know, they've got the disc jockey there. And
sure.
They just screwed up my interview. And they're high-fiving each other, eating their gigantic piled-on plates of food.
Their big Dagwood sandwiches.
Yeah, all of them all sweaty, wearing their cutoffs and everything.
Oh, that's funny.
Sitting back there, big laughs. I mean, the laughs don't translate because we're using such a small tape recorder,
right,
but
right.
Really, they were showing their teeth, laughing like the Simpsons back there. Yeah. And then when I was leaving, I got done with the interview with Stephen Davis, and I said, okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for effing up my big interview. And they laughed, and I was about halfway down the hall, and I hear, goodbye,
You know, what is it about the linemen, man? The linemen are the crazy guys.
They're great.
Yeah, I remember Russ Grimm years ago. You know what I mean? He was, you know, he's in that mold. I mean, it's great. It really is. They
They're
just have
guys.
That, they have the best sense of humor.
I guess on
game day, they really have to go into the biggest frenzy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, didn't we hear that a long time ago, that when you're down there in the trenches, I mean, that's just...
Yeah, they like psych themselves up.
Real warfare, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they listened to the show.
I am too. That's great.
Big shout out to Corey Raymer and all those other big doofuses.
That's terrific.
Now, let me see. We have, hold on a second. Oh, my goodness. All kinds of people that want to do stuff for us. Here is Shannon. They're calling for the contest tomorrow. Hello, Shannon.
Hello.
Hi, baby.
Hey, I'm the girl that called yesterday, and you guys kind of, you kind of cut me off, and you said for me to come up with an original idea.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have my original idea.
Okay, what is it?
I'll pierce my nipple.
Now, are you going to do that here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can come down and do that in front of us, absolutely.
All right. Will your wife be mad?
No, my wife is fine. I did the blindfold thing last week. Don't even mention her.
Have you done it before?
No. I have my belly button pierced, though.
Really?
Now, will you do this yourself, or will you bring a trained piercer to do it for you?
I'll do it myself.
Do it yourself?
Well, I mean, do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, well, I pierced my belly button before, but then I took it out because my mom said either I was 16 at the time, and my mother saw it, and she said, well, either you take it out or I'll take it out for you, and she was going to pull it out, so...
How old are you now?
Not myself.
How old are you now?
21.
21.
Well, you know, I would urge you to at least go on the internet tonight to try to find out a little bit about the procedure.
I have a friend, he's a tattoo artist that does piercings as well.
Why don't you
so
bring
I
that?
Can get, yeah, bring, I can get like the iodine and the.
Well,
the
bring the friend. You ought to try to bring the friend along.
You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable unless you brought a professional to do it.
Bring a licensed professional with you.
Okay.
And if you do that, you're in, okay?
Okay. Hi,
okay.
Guys.
Hi.
Hold on. Hey, but I give her credit. That is an original idea.
Right.
It is.
Okay, good.
Pretty terrific.
Hello, Jim.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, buddy.
Guess what?
What?
This is going to be painful, and I'll only do it if I can, if you can get some side bets. But I will go for, in the spirit of Cool Hand Luke, and eat 50 raw hard-boiled eggs.
50 eggs.
Really? Now that I'd love to see. Is there a time limit on this?
Well, how long are you going to be doing it? Because it's going to take a little while, but, I mean, not like all day, but.
I'd give you a whole break. I'd give you like 15 or 20 minutes to eat 50 eggs.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in the movie,
and Luke couldn't
in the
eat,
movie, I think
he could hardly eat 50 in an hour. So if you did him, if you did 25 minutes, you'd have to like modify it down to the what the time would be. What would be the breakdown to do in 20?
I think it would be like half, maybe 20 eggs.
Like 20 eggs in 20 minutes.
20 eggs in 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because you're right. In the movie Cool Hand Luke, he says, I could eat 50 eggs. How long?
An hour. Yeah, an hour.
Yeah.
I remember that was a struggle for him to do that in an hour.
Yeah.
So, 20 eggs in 20 minutes.
Yeah, that would be acceptable.
Yeah, what do you think as far as my chances? Do you think that's the best idea? Do you like that, or?
I don't know. Sir, listen, there will be a panel of judges voting tomorrow.
Okay.
There will be five of us voting. There will be me and Mike and Buzz and Rob A and wild card Charlie Broyhill will be voting.
You have to bring your own eggs.
Yes, of course.
All right, well, then you're in. Hold on, please, Jimbo.
Okay, thanks.
Hold on just a second.
Nothing like watching a guy eat eggs. That'll be fantastic.
I like that. Hello, Rick.
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
I would like to get in the contest.
Okay, what would you like to do?
Rip off, like, a fingernail or the toenail of your choice.
We had that offered yesterday.
I don't think so.
Set of pliers.
No, we've already... No self-mutilation, please.
Okay.
All right, thank you, though.
Bye-bye.
See, the nipple piercing really doesn't count as self-mutilation. That's more like self-decoration.
And I would just feel more comfortable if she actually brought the piercing tattoo
a licensed piercer. I mean, there are a million of people.
I don't want to take it like a big sewing needle or something.
Right,
yeah. Just stick it through a nipple.
You know, and all of a sudden it'd be like a scene out of something from, you know, Something About Mary. We got a bleeder.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Homo Joe here, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, Homo Joe here.
I'll tell you, one of you guys must be a little psychic.
Why? You mean we had our gaydar on?
Yes, you had your gaydar on.
The guy with the kickboxers?
Please.
Yes.
I mean, come on, blind people knew that guy was gay, Joe. Come on, please.
Well, he's bisexual, and his girlfriend is Felicia, and I'm trying to bring him over to my side to be on my team.
Oh, you're trying to bring the guy over to your side?
Yeah, he's the date I had on Friday.
Really?
Is he the reason that you shaved your mustache off?
Yes, he is.
Ah.
Wow.
Gotcha,
wow.
Joe. So can you stand up for the attractiveness of the two women?
Oh, they're very hot. Both of them are very extraordinary hot. They're both school teachers, by the way.
Oh, I love it.
You know, that's a wonderful little fact.
That is.
Naked school teachers kickboxing.
Terrific.
All right, Homo Joe. Well, good. Well, we know that'll happen, then, if you're affiliated with the guy.
So can I come down and kind of watch some of the stuff?
Yeah, I don't see why you couldn't come
on. Why not, Homo?
I'll be the breaking tie if you have a problem. I'll pull the straws.
I know. You'd love to pull the straws. Sure, come on. Come on down, Homo Joe.
Okay.
All right.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
We don't have to tell you where those straws are located.
Bye-bye. You know, there's a name for that.
Yes, I know what it's saying.
Felching?
Yes. Thank you.
No, thank you.
We both knew it right away. Neither one of us, you know, we were pretending to offer each other help on that when it was
right
here.
Yeah, what is that?
It wasn't back here. It was right up here.
Right.
Belching.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
That's one of those things. That's one of those. Hold on, sir. That's one of those things you remember forever. You know, the first time I heard it, that is the memory. Like the day I heard it, it never left. Wow.
And we haven't talked about felching for what, like at least
4 years,
a while.
Yeah. We haven't, and you know, we haven't gone into the details of it. You know, it's just
use your imagination, folks. It involves a straw. Okay, listen, who's this?
JR,
what can you do? What would you like to do?
I would like to dig up Mom Petit Shushu's bones and make soup for you.
Oh, come on, please. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi.
That was some kind of a joke about my mom's dead poodle, Mom Petit Shushu.
Oh, your dog like way back when?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
That's too weird.
The poodle. He would like to dig up the poodle's bones and make soup.
Weird, the bone collector.
Hello, Sally.
Yes.
Hi, Sally. What would you like to do?
Well, I was thinking about seeing how many tampons I could put in, but not plastic applicators. How about the cardboard applicators?
How many do you think you could put in?
I don't know.
I'd be up for that. It's a freak show, Mike.
No lubrication.
You should see the look on Mike's face.
That's my zone you're in right now. That is really my zone.
Well, Sally, if you would like to try,
sure.
Hold on a second, please.
Thanks.
Hold on. How many can she get in there at once? She could be the Bonnie Franklin of tampons. So we always maintained that Bonnie Franklin could get how many tennis balls in her mouth at once?
Eight,
was it
I
eight?
Room's starting to dance around for me a little bit.
I love Don and Mike show. Wait till tomorrow. He's just thinking about it now. Wait till you see it.
That's why God gave me eyelids.
Hello.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'm ready to come down there and drink my own semen.
No, thank you.
Oh.
No, thank you. Sorry, sir. A wonderful, wonderful idea, though, but thank
you.
Wow. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air with us right now. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Marie.
Hi, Marie.
How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Good. I know what I'd like to do for...
Turn your radio down. Marie, can you turn your radio down?
Uh-huh.
So?
There you go. Good girl.
Thank you.
Was there a golden retriever that just came up to the phone, or what?
I think it's because I talked to her like she was a dog.
No, that was me.
Oh, very good.
Good girl. Well, what can we do for you?
Well, for $1,500, I'd like to come in and get my garden waxed, and then I'd make a mustache out of my bush and wear it.
Well, you know, we already have a girl that's coming down to trim her garden, so thank you, though.
Thank you, but the idea has been taken.
Hello, Susan. Hello,
except for the mustache part.
Hello, Susan.
That'll be another contest.
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hi, what would you like to do?
I would like to shoot golf balls out of my place.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Shoot golf
contest
balls.
Contest is getting better every minute.
Out of your place. And, you know, I'd like to give send some love out to all of the girls that are calling today.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
You know, the girls are just as bad as the boys.
Planets must be aligned right today.
Yes, we'd love to have you shoot. Now, will you be shooting regulation golf balls or wiffle golf balls?
Oh, anything you want.
I think really your better odds would be with ping pong balls.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking light like a wiffle golf ball, but you're right. I don't think a golf ball
probably be pretty tough.
Unless you're in incredible muscle control.
Yeah, I mean, have you done it before?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
With golf balls?
Yes.
Hey, don't forget the Malibu twins.
Yeah, that's
right. They did it with a banana.
Absolutely.
So, you know, hey, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on a second, please.
Thank you.
Hold on.
This contest is getting better and better.
Yeah. It's sounding good now.
This is really sounding terrific.
We're going to have some great freaks down here tomorrow.
It's going to be awesome.
It's amazing. What would you do for $1,500? Well, apparently people would do a lot of stuff.
That's for sure. I'm still queasy about that last one.
Which one? The tampons?
Of course, the
golf balls.
It's an area that you don't get fazed by. You know, you seem to read the butt absolutely. Freaks you out. But as far as when I, you know, when it's that time and that function, I get totally weirded out.
Just let me say for the record, I hope that she's not getting a visit from her Aunt Flo right now.
I think that ought to be checked.
Mm-hmm. I hope that it's not that.
I think
time.
Also, and I'm not saying this just because it grosses me out, but I'm thinking that there also may be a medical concern about that too. When you try to do that,
well,
put that many foreign bodies up there.
Let's start her with two.
Yeah,
see how she's doing.
Okay,
maybe sure. Work her way up.
Thank you.
To three, five.
Where's standards and practices when you need them?
They're in Philly today.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buzz, for $1,500, I will pull a ball out of my butt.
I have a feeling you'd do that for 15 cents, Jorge.
Would you like a felching demonstration?
Oh, okay,
no, thank
Mario.
You.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye now.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Mike, good news for you. The tampon lady has already backed out. It says on the screen now.
Thank God.
Okay.
Thank God. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
There goes my show tomorrow. Damn it.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, hey, I'd like to speak with Donna Mike.
Yeah.
You battle your own canoe with that one. I'll tell you that right now.
The Red Sea. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Hey, turn your radio down, please.
All right.
I'd like to go on record saying the golf ball trick is something I'm truly looking forward to.
Yeah, me too.
Sure.
Yeah. Hello.
I was on the ride home yesterday, and it's pretty hard to come up with something to gross you guys out, but I think somebody should do a nice tall drink of dumpster juice. The fluid coming out of the dumpster.
Well, why wouldn't that someone be you?
Oh, I don't think I could do something like that. I'd be sick for months.
I'd like to go on record that say not all of these, you know, I would say the golf ball thing is not something that's going to gross us out. The trimming is not something that's going to gross us out.
The guy hitting his car with a hammer won't gross us out.
No, this is not a gross out contest. This is a freak show. This is something, what would you do for the $1,500? And I want that to incorporate everything.
Well,
you know?
I just want to say on behalf of the other side, the dark side.
Yes, the evil side.
It's fine with me, you know.
I understand that.
The wackier, the better.
Right.
I'd rather go to the wall trying wacky stuff.
I know that.
Than have it be all people that are doing safe stuff.
That's right. Yeah,
now,
that's
I think we can meet in the middle, though, on the woman who's going to eat the fruit off Dennis's feet.
I think that's a perfect balance right there.
Right?
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Got the perfect balance of just gross enough but not freaky.
Do you know I physically feel better after that woman backed out? I don't know what it is. That's something that, you know, it's not a question of taste. It's a question of that nausea button that gets...
Imagine what it would taste like.
That makes me an easy gag reflex
today.
No, it's just that one thing always bothers me that way. If it was a matter of taste, I would be debating it, but it wasn't. It was just simply something that I was going to have to stomach if we were watching that.
I bet there's some girls that have to use more than one.
I wouldn't.
I mean, for medical reasons, I bet they have to use more than one.
I don't know the details of that, but I mean, I'm sure that there would be varying degrees of, you know, necessary absorption.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Dynamite.
Hi, Joe.
I had to trick Rockhead to get through. This is the guy that does Dr. Mud. I want to apologize for all the stupid calls I make and tell you I'll never call as him again.
Oh, as Dr. Mud? Thank you, sir. All right, good.
Yeah, they were weak calls.
Hello.
Yeah, for $1,500, I'll give you a shout-out. Shout-out, baby! I'm in your ear-hole, baby! Shout-out!
All right, thank you, sir. The shout-out guy is kind of on the periphery. He's not really in the club of regular callers.
No, he's not.
Right. That doesn't get the same response.
Not like the Unleash the Hounds guy.
No.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Last call. Hello.
Yeah, Mike there. Don't you ever make love to your wife while she's having her time?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because I don't care to. It's not something that I enjoy.
I don't either. It's gross,
and
man.
She, it makes it all slickery.
She is
gross.
She is not into that either.
Oh. I'll tell you, one of the worst days I've ever had was once my wife lied to me, and she told me that everything was okay, and
yes.
You know how I found out it wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
Later that day when I went to the bathroom,
right,
and I looked at my underpants.
It was
one of those quickies where I didn't wash up afterwards.
I don't know if I've ever told you this on the air. I've told you this off the air, if you remember. There's a reason that I have this. I just remember what it was. I always wonder what it is. But I had a college roommate who would have his girlfriend come down to visit. And I was always, just my freshman year of college, and I was always real cool about either going to somebody else's dorm room or I'd go out into the lounge on a Saturday
night.
Oh,
when he wanted to take care of her?
And he'd, you know, it was usually once or twice a month that they would, they'd stop by. And I, on a Sunday afternoon, I came back into my dorm, and he had said his goodbyes, and they were walking around campus somewhere. And I went down to, and he had the top bunk, and I had the bottom bunk. And I went down to, get my stuff together, and I sat on my bed, and I looked at my sheets. And my sheets had been horribly soiled.
Oh.
Because they had chosen to do gymnastics whilst the oh my God, you know?
Yeah, the thank God.
The thank God or whatever it's called. See, I blocked stuff like that out. And from that day forward, I first of all, you know, she never visited again. At least if she visited, they were off campus. I've never been so upset in my life. I mean, I was just like, you know, they were my sheets. Yeah, they couldn't make it up to the top bunk, you know. So they had, like, in their zeal, obviously, you know,
everything
had been thrown out the window. And I ever since that, there's where probably it comes from.
Sure. Well,
where it comes from.
Imagine my horror. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I took care of business with my wife.
Yeah.
Came to work, went to the bathroom, looked down and thought, oh my God, yeah, something's wrong with me. And I realized that she had lied to me.
Yeah. Well, you see, I think that there are windows of opportunity, and sometimes you can push the envelope a little bit. I think we've all probably done that. And
Frida tries to tell me that, and a lot of times...
And that's happened to me, too.
The few times that I turn my wife down for sex, I virtually never turn her down.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I know she's coming off it.
Right.
And she'll say, I'm pretty sure it's okay. It's when those times when I say, you know what, let's just wait till tomorrow.
See, if I get a pretty sure I'm okay, I usually, you know, because you're, you know, you're dealing with a long period of time there, mm-hmm. and the pretty sure I'm okay is.
Well, I got burned.
I've had that, you know, where it's just like, okay. Da, da, da.
Yeah, I got burned that one time.
Right.
Never forget.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Sally.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, you're the tampon girl, right?
Yes.
What?
Well, now,
I back out. I guess Rocky said I hung up, but I didn't hear anything. Nothing in the background or anything, so I hung
oh,
up.
Oh, she's back.
Oh, so you're still in the competition.
Yeah.
All right, good. Okay, we'll
and
see you tomorrow.
I'll be in D.C. at a hotel tomorrow. I'm from out of town, so.
I'm out of town. Where do you live?
Spokane.
Ah.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay. Really? Let me ask you a question.
We hear you on K-Fans in Spokane.
Do you have your thank God right now?
Do I have my what?
Is Aunt Flo visiting you right now?
No, God, no.
Okay, all right.
That's all right.
No, that's nasty.
That's good. Yeah, right, that's nasty. Thank you. Hold on, Sally. Hold on a second.
That's nasty.
Oh, hold on. But the other so one's
glad,
not.
So glad she's back.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing? I have something that'll totally gross you out.
You what?
I have something that'll, like, totally gross you out.
Now, listen, we don't want to be grossed out. Do you want to enter the contest?
I sure do.
Oh, okay. Well, what would you like to do?
For $1,500, I can guarantee you. I can stick a stick pin straight up through my penis.
Put a stick pin through your penis?
Straight up through there.
That's self-mutilation.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that, sir.
Oh, no, let me tell you, I've done it before.
I'm sure you have.
No, because, no.
Yeah, I'm doing it in the comfort of your own home.
The only reason why I can say that is because my sex life is less than Stella.
Okay, whatever.
Grease man thing.
Whatever, I don't know.
That's what it sounded like. You know?
I don't know.
Sipage.
Yeah, I don't know. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
We got them. They're calling now. Hey, the moons are aligned in the right way today.
And also, it's the number of zeros. Yeah, I mean, $1,500 is a hell of a lot of money,
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
You changed your life for $1,500.
I always heard that women are a little bit more horny during that
I have to.
Mm-hmm. period.
Yeah, yeah, I have to.
I would.
That may give
would
them
agree with
a little
that.
Bit of reason to lie to you.
Yeah, maybe so.
Right.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, maybe she really wants it.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
She really wants it.
I think you have both points very well taken, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
And you can always wash it off, so that, you know.
Yeah, hey. But okay, thanks. Thank you, genius.
All right.
Yeah, he was fine with those first two, then he became Dr. Obvious at the end. Oh, no, no need to do that, sir.
Well, you know, I didn't
right.
that one time, which is how I got the shock of my life when I looked in my underpants that day.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, my God, because I didn't notice anything
right.
when we had gotten done.
You might think you're hurt.
Right. That's what I thought. Oh, my God, there's been a terrible accident in my pants.
I'd say we're handling this discussion very deftly. I really think so. Yes. I think we're really dancing around it quite nicely.
Yes, kudos.
Yeah.
Kudos and brickbats all around. Okay, well, let's just stop, because I think we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, we got at least 12 great acts.
That's
tomorrow.
Fantastic. It sounds good. Like it's going to be a great show.
So if we get any other last-minute acts, we will let you know.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The issue here is not whether we broke a few rules or took a few liberties with our female party guests. We did. Well, you can't hold a whole fraternity responsible for the behavior of a few sick, perverted individuals. Or if you do, then shouldn't we blame the whole fraternity system? And if the whole fraternity system is guilty, then isn't this an indictment of our educational institutions in general?
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Mike, this weekend,
yes,
you played in a major celebrity benefit hockey game.
It was the benefit hockey game for the Children's Inn at NIH, and it was out here in the Washington area, and we had a great crowd. I was really, I got out there at about 4:45 in the afternoon. That's what time they said to be there. And I did not know. I had not been out to the place, and I had been saying they had TVs. Well, it was perfect, because they had TVs to watch the game.
Tell the truth, you were worried about the turnout, because as it turns out, this hockey game was going to be dovetailing with the end of the Redskins playoff.
Yeah,
game.
I really was worried about, you know, and everybody was worried about there. But the good news was we had standing room only. It was a sellout out there. It was an absolute huge crowd. And it was probably one of the, you know, the biggest crowds in a non, you know, arena place. You know, it was basically an ice rink with bleachers. And they sold the place out. And it was fantastic.
That's great.
They had TVs there. I was going nuts trying to get a score of the game. I was trying to figure out, because we had to be, like, in the locker room at 5 o'clock. And so, you know, when I went into the last time I had contact about with the game, it was 3-0 Redskins. Okay. I missed basically the entire game and I was trying to find out what was going on. But we had a great crowd out there. It was a terrific turnout. Everybody had a great time. And, you know, there were some of our fans of the show. You know, we get the, you know, there's something. Why is it? I always think of our show when I'm thinking of the listeners that we are broadcasting to. I'm thinking of the 20-something men. You know, that's really in my mind. You know, the guys that call all the time.
So who showed up?
These youngsters. You know, these young roughies.
Oh,
you know?
Come on, how young?
Well, there was one kid that came. They let the kids come into the locker room to have the players sign autographs during between the breaks when they were making the ice. And you sit down there, and the kids would come in. And there's this one kid. I wish I remembered his name. He walks up to me and he says, "I like the Crocodile Hunter. I like it when you do the Crocodile Hunter." And he's like, and it's funny because he's probably 12 or 13 years old. And okay. Then there were two other young roughies that were out there, and they were out in the hallway when I was there. It's just, but I realized that when we always say from the womb to the tomb,
mm-hmm.
that is true the way people listen to this show. I was out there, and it was apparent that the game, the last benefit game that I had played, was at a much lower level than this one. This one was going to be more competitive. And I knew, I started to get nervous when I heard some of the players in the locker room making comments like, "Hey, remember last year when we all fell asleep and all us old guys ran out of gas? They almost came back and got us." Yeah, they scored 4 goals in 5 minutes. It was incredible. And I'm sitting there, so, oh my God. I'm saying inside my mind, on the outside I'm laughing, but on the inside I'm saying, they're taking this seriously.
And you, of course, have done zero training for this event, right?
No, the only training I have done is that I have probably fallen off the bandwagon and I smoked a couple of cigarettes. And that does not go with you know, with athletic endeavor. And I actually was worried.
Were you smoking during the game?
No, not during.
When you were out on a shift on the ice?
No, at some point I was thinking maybe I should, but I was not nearly. First of all, I was 3 or 4 pounds heavier than the last time I had played. And that particular 3 or 4 pounds made all the difference in the world in as far as stamina. I was winded and sweating when we had the pregame skate.
Oh my.
I was sitting there kind of going, but I said, let's go. There are more guys. There are more players out here. There were more former NHL guys than I played with in a long time. You know, there were guys like Craig Laughlin. There was guy, you know, Alan Hangs like
Craig Laughlin's a funny talking guy,
He's the guy that does the color commentary for the Capitals games.
He's the guy that talks like that, and I was in the locker room with him.
And the only thing they put me on his line after I was whining about the fact that I wasn't going to have a number, because they said, "Hey, Mike, I got your jersey over here," because you get there, and it's not like remember when I used to play on the Washington Capitals alumni team when I was the court jester for that particular group of guys?
Remember?
And they actually, the neatest thing that happened to me was they gave me a jersey with my name on it, which was the coolest thing, because they all have their jerseys with the names on it. Well, this time, it's been a while. I haven't played with the team on a regular basis. So they basically keep a box of jerseys and stockings, hockey socks, for the guys that show up. Well, there were so many guys that showed up this time that the only number they had was number 18, which is Craig Laughlin's number. And I'm sitting next to Craig Laughlin.
And he's the guy who used to play, so you don't want to take his number.
I felt like an a-hole with that. So I said, "Hey, I don't want to have one of the players' numbers. I want to have my own number." He said, "Oh, let me see. Okay." And they look through their little box there, and they say, "We got this." And it was a blank jersey.
No number at all.
No number at all. So, I mean, I'm faced with this dilemma. What do I do? Do I go out with the same number of the guy?
Well, what number was Craig wearing?
18. And what number did they give me? 18.
So you both wore 18.
Yeah, but his had, you know, Laughlin with 18 on it, and I wore 18 with, you know, nothing on top of it. And it was just, you know, it's obvious when you see me hit the ice, when I start skating around, when I start bringing my fat ass around the rink, that I am not one of the, you know, quote-unquote players.
Magma.
I don't need that exemplified further by, and then we have the pregame introductions. And they say, "From the Washington Capitals, you love the forward, Craig Laughlin, hey!" And then, you know, the speakers are pointing towards the bleachers. And on my side, it's not in a surround rink. It's one side of the rink is where the crowd is. So I hear, number 18, it's a fire to fight after. We wouldn't have the jersey. Unfortunately, kids, well, so please look. And I don't even know when I'm supposed to skate over there next to him because they're doing this soliloquy about why I'm wearing the same number as he's wearing. So I skate over next to him, and it's kind of like, ha, 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 there he is, the same number he holds. Yeah. All right, there you go. And I felt like a doof. I just felt stupid. You know what I mean?
I understand.
You know, when you're playing, you're so insecure anyway. You're playing with guys who really used to play hockey. I'm gonna take you right through the reasons that I am so completely insecure, okay? First of all, you're playing with guys that have played. Second of all, you are not an athlete, nor have you ever been an athlete. You played hockey in high school. That was in the 1970s, okay? That was back when you were able to do things. You're not able to do things anymore. Even if you're a normal athletic guy, you're still going to look kind of stupid out there. Sure, there are physical specimens like in their 40s that play. But I'm a 40-year-old
guy. You're no Gordie Howe.
I'm not Gordie Howe. So that's, you know, I got that going for me, which is nice. Then, thirdly, I'm just not prepared for that particular competition on that. I've been more prepared for games. I've skated before, you know, leading up to these.
Yeah, there was no preparation for this.
You know what my preparation was? The holidays. New Year's, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Eating, feeding, drinking, smoking. I'm not advocating this lifestyle.
No. I'm
trying my damnedest to change things, but I'll tell you right now, I was not ready. And then, the last thing that I will say is, I get along great with these guys, and I've known them for years. Most of them are the guys that play in this alumni team that are still in the area. I've known a lot of these guys for years, and they were all there. And these guys take a great deal of pleasure in busting my balls out.
Of course.
There, which I understand, and I actually
You're
like
the
it.
DJ.
If they don't do that, I would think something was wrong. Sure. I've always said I enjoy that. But you put all of those things together, and then you put a large group of people in this Garden's Ice House.
Pucker factor.
There's a huge, huge pucker factor. So I'm sweating before we even get out there. I'm actually nervous. And then I see the bar that we're playing, the nightclub that's going to be our opponent. This bar, I think it's called Coconuts.
Right.
These guys are a better than average hockey team. These guys are actually guys to play. So it's going to be a high level, and I'm just totally, you know, every time I'd skate out there, every time I'd skate a shift, I would look back and, you know, you'd see the guy, you know, hey, Mike, you know, and I look and I see like eight of these guys, you know, with their toothless smiles, just going, there he goes again. However, I will tell you this.
Yeah, well, here we go.
There was one moment. It was a play. It was the best play that I've ever done. It's the best play I've ever made in hockey at this level, playing with the alumni team. It's the first thing. It was a pass. It was not a goal. It was, I went into the corner with this guy, and I got the puck from him. And then I did a behind-the-back pass that nobody saw coming because they don't, you know, even the guy, it takes the guys from the opposition team, it takes them probably 30 seconds to realize, I'm the guy you don't go near. You don't have to worry about this. You know, I'm not a factor.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, really, the level is so, it is so separated. These guys flying all over the ice. Even, you know, some of these guys, the older guys, they're flying all over the ice. And me, I'm keeping up. I'm doing everything I can to get. But as far as mobility, shooting, all that, it's like,
not an offensive threat.
Don't worry. I take the puck from this guy. I do this pass. This pass is so good that the goalie has come out all the way to the left side. And Craig Locken, it just ends up on his stick. And he's got a wide open, empty net. And he throws it into the air with one of the greatest assists in the history
now,
of the game.
How did you do this, though? How did you do it?
I have no idea. I really don't. They have the guy that Craig was with, a bunch of the guys from the network that covers the Caps.
He
had a camera crew out there, and apparently they got it on videotape. And I you know, practically tackled the producer, and I said, you know, get me a copy of this. I want to see what it looks like.
Well, we'd all love to see that.
I want
to
see it. I want to see what it looks like. But, you know, I also know
bring it to the next Vegas style show. We'll put up on a big screen.
I'd be happy to. I really, because it was the one moment, and the guys, as much as they bust my balls, were really nice to me about it.
That's great.
They were all kind of happy because they were, I think, in a state of semi-shock that I was able to do this. And, you know, it was cool. So I was very, very pleased with the turnout, and I think they raised a lot of money for the Children's Internet.
Oh, good. And you didn't suffer a heart attack.
It was, you know, at one point they're going through the room with the TV camera because they're putting a thing together for home team sports. And, you know, I said, I'm really glad that we're associated with a hospital because you are looking at a heart attack in progress. Because that's how bad. That's
you want to talk to a guy who was there?
Sure, why not?
Here's Mike from D.C. who was actually at this game.
Hi, Mike.
Don and Mike, my brothers. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Blair Stewart says you're a heck of a hockey skater.
That's one of the former Capitals, Blair Stewart, who
absolutely,
who actually got a little testy during the game.
Isn't that the guy you told me got in a fight?
Yeah, a little throwback to the old days, you know, where he got into a little, it was just, it's hockey. So
he said he got sticked.
Yeah, he got sticked and he got a little testy out there. So
I'm a little disappointed with you, though, Mike.
Why?
Didn't see you at the post-game party. Heard you had to leave after a period and a half.
Yeah, well, actually, two periods. I left
another
after
function.
Two periods. Yeah, I left after two periods.
Another charity function. Another very busy charity function.
I can only give so much, sir.
Went up to the Turtle with Stewie after the game, and he's got some choice words for you.
He does?
Oh, yeah, he'd like to speak with you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You mean he's mad at me?
No. He just wants to just give you a few pointers.
Well, they all want to give me pointers.
Well, now, what about Mike's excellent behind-the-back pass?
Did you witness my pass?
I didn't get there till about the middle of the second, so I don't think I saw that, but
I'd get off the phone.
Right, hold on.
Unless you saw the great
hold
moves.
On. I got a girl here who says it was awesome.
Oh, good.
Hello, Kim.
Yeah. Not a girl, though.
Oh, Kim, well,
that scared me.
Bag are you? My name is Kim. Wait, what are you, Chinese or something?
It's a torturous name.
Kim, all right. Kim.
Hey, I got, there was a lot of mention on the pregame, too, about the, I got it on tape here. If I can get it wrong.
What?
Michael Mara, he still could be playing hockey. Final score 13-8.
The pregame for the Caps game on Sunday. Al Kokin mentioned you.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
I just
roll
had...
that back. Roll that
I
back.
I
want
to hear that. Let me roll back again. They mentioned it. It come right after the... they just played the...
It come right after, Mike.
When do it come?
Here, it's coming right... It's right here.
Let's see. If Craig Laughlin had a center iceman as skilled as Michael Mara, he still could be playing hockey.
Yeah. And maybe you got some airtime on HCS.
How about
so
that?
Cool. That's good for you.
Well, they even aired the interview. They even aired the interview from the locker room when you were talking to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have the whole thing on tape.
Oh, good. Well, send it along if you don't mind.
Hold on a second. Hold on. We need your info.
That's cool.
Sure thing.
Magma.
Well, I didn't even know that they were doing it for the game the next day. That's
very
good.
Cool.
So it was, I guess, anybody watching the hockey game. That was cool.
Uh-huh. Huzzah!
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 Huzzah! Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
All right, hold on. Here's a guy who says it was the Caps game.
Okay.
We're going to stay with hockey for a second.
Yeah, what they told me was that the stuff that they were videotaping was primarily to run on the tell screen at the MCI Center.
Well, this guy wants to tell us about Charlie Stossel
okay.
doing his halftime contest.
Oh, that's right.
That's
to right.
shoot the goal for $1 million at the Caps game. Hello, is this Mike?
Yeah, guys, how are you?
Hi, we're great, thank you.
Oh, well, the ultra-athlete Charlie Stossel just did stupendous. When he walked out on the ice, he expected everyone to applaud when they announced his name, and you could have heard the crickets. And they put the carpet so the guys wouldn't fall about 10 feet in front of the net. He wound up, missed the puck. It rolled maybe 5 feet, didn't make the net. Then he stomped his foot. He was so angry, and he pretty much went straight down square on his bottom.
Oh, he fell?
Oh, dear.
Yes, he did.
Charlie Stossel fell.
Yes.
Fall on the carpeting?
Well, they set the carpet, like I said, about 10 feet in front of the net, so it was a no-brainer to hit the puck into the net to see how fast it would go. The girl that did it before him, because there were four people on the team, a girl went first, she did it. He wound up, fanned on the shot, just kind of hit the ice probably a foot behind the puck. The puck dribbled about 5 feet toward the net, didn't go in. He kind of turned sideways and stomped his foot like a little girl, and he hit the ice. His feet went straight up, and he came flat down.
Oh, Jesus. I'd rather see the video of that than Mike making this great pass.
I know.
Jesus
I can't believe that he fell.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
That's more great ammunition for Stossel's next appearance. Okay, one more call, Mike.
All right.
Here's a guy named Glenn who says he saw the pass.
He saw the pass.
Mike.
Yes?
Hey, that was an awesome pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Gretzky-like, wasn't it?
Yeah, only those who play could really appreciate it.
That's cool.
What you did was great.
It was so great that I really didn't know what I did.
Yeah,
I'm serious. I didn't have any idea where it was going.
Hey.
I didn't know where it was going. I mean, I really
take
didn't.
Take it, Mike. Don't complain. You could have had either a great moment like that, how would you like to have a nostalgia moment?
Oh, man, I, you know, because, remember, Rob, remember when we did that?
Yeah.
Can you think of anything more embarrassing than if we fell?
I remember you telling me, don't fall.
All right, yeah. Hold on, hold on. I got to go back to the Stossel thing for a second. Candace says Stossel did not fall down at the MCI Center. Candace.
Yes.
What's the deal with Stossel?
He didn't, from my opinion, he didn't fall. He just, like, laid down from embarrassment. You know, like, he just, oh, God, and he hit the carpet and just laid there for a minute because he was so mortified that he had missed.
When we get a call like this, why do I always think we've got a Stossel plant?
Yeah, I think so.
Either way. You know, whether he fell down or just laid down.
No,
you know, it's not
but
good.
The thing is, you don't lay down on an ice hockey rink.
I know.
You don't, no matter how embarrassed you are, you don't lay down.
Right?
Well, that was the opinion I got. It didn't look like he slipped, like his feet went out from under him and he fell.
Did he stomp his feet like a girl?
Maybe. I don't remember, but.
Okay, that means yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Candace.
Bye.
More reason to torture Charlie.
All right, well, that'll be Friday's episode. You know, every week we come up with something new to talk to Charlie Stossel about. Huh?
Just the stomping the feet like a girl works.
Well, congrats to you.
Thank you very much.
Congrats to Charlie
Stossel.
The Don
and Mike Show.
See that hot dog out there off Malibu? That's me, Brian Gifford. Waiting for a good set of heavies to come up. Like this, my wife, Maxine. Boy, when you get a big one and catch it right, you can ride that almost to the beach. Man, after a few of those, you're ready for a rest and a cigarette. When you get lucky, you get the taste to start with, the taste to stay with. And that's the taste of my wife, Maxine. It's smooth and rich. So if you want the taste of my wife, Maxine, look for the big red bullseye. Get lucky.
The best of Don and Mike.
But let's do the Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire stuff.
Very good.
This guy, Paul Walton. I hope you heard him on the show last week.
Paul Walton.
This guy is just an absolute pimple on the ass of life. We've had him on the show a couple of times over the last 5 years. He's a guy who is... he has said in the past he'd been very rich, hung out with famous people, and he walked around with a big satchel of photographs in his pocket.
With him and famous people.
And he would just pull them out and say, hey, look, here's me with Tom Cruise. Look, here's me with Nicole Kidman. Look, here's me with Oprah Winfrey.
That's right.
This guy actually went on the Oprah show one time when she did a show that here's a rich guy who can't find a nice girl.
That's it.
And as it turns out, Paul Walton had been out of our lives for years, called last week and said, hey, you know that Marry a Millionaire show? They wanted to use him.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Walton is the millionaire, and he turned them down.
Now, we didn't believe him, and we finally got the producer of that show on the line, and he confirmed the fact that they had spoken to Paul about being on the Millionaire show. And I am sure, as I said to you yesterday, that after all this controversy, Paul Walton probably will be screaming from the highest mountaintop how incredibly smart he was for ducking this show and not going on.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what he said, but he was featured last night on Entertainment Tonight, so just ahead of a phone call to him. Here is the tape of Paul Walton on last night's ET.
Today, Darva was busy running to the gym and away from media scrutiny. If she's wondering how Rick Rockwell came to be the guy who picked her, ET has new insight into his selection.
Part of me actually was thinking, guys, I could have been the guy.
That's him. Paul Walton.
That's Paul Walton.
Pardon me.
Paul Walton almost was the guy if he'd said yes when the show's executive producer popped the question, will you be our marrying multimillionaire?
He said, we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars finding the girl of your dreams. You give us the criteria. You tell us what color hair you want, what height, what weight, what edge.
Hey, Rob, do you have the videotape?
Yeah.
Can we do a break? Can you bring the TV in? Because I would like to see Paul Walton. I don't remember what he looks like.
He looks a little puffier and a little grayer.
Ah, Paul Walton. Because I'd like to see the tape before we call him. It's not enough to hear him. I got to see him. I got to see his facial tics.
Yeah, and you know, I think that Entertainment Tonight now, with a little exposure, more people coming to his bed and breakfast.
Does he work in a plug for his hotel in San Diego?
It's all over the place. It has him walking by the soaking pool.
Oh,
he's a smart guy.
Get the TV and bring the VCR in. Let's just hold off on that for a second. Let's do a break.
That's terrific.
Come back, and we'll watch the tape, and then we'll call Paul Walton, since I'm sure he's just sitting around with nothing to do.
Paul Walton.
He'd love to talk to us. Let me see if he's there. Oops, hold on.
Any chance to plug his vineyard or wherever the hell it is?
His spa.
His spa out near Oprah's place that Oprah likes to go to.
Right. His is much cheaper. Oprah's is like $1,000 a night. His is $99 a night. for a special Don and Mike rate.
Castle Creek Inn, can you hold a moment, please?
No, Paul Walton, please.
Oh, Paul is not in right now. Could I take a message, please?
Oh.
Can you call me on the 800 number?
Is the Don and Mike radio show calling?
Yes, hi. Mike, this is Ellie, Paul's sister.
Oh, yes, hi, Ellie.
Hello, Ellie.
But you know what? This line is getting crossed. We're having a little trouble with this line. Can I give you the 800 number?
Yeah, Ellie, you know what? Is Paul around?
I don't know where he is right now. Actually, hold on just one moment. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, Ellie.
I'm trying to locate him. Okay?
Thank you, Ellie.
Okay, one moment.
Probably sweet Ellie. Probably booking hundreds of reservations now.
Ellie Walton, everybody.
Castle Creek Inn Resort and Spa.
Here we go.
This is a poor guy.
In 850,
this is poor staff.
Circle our way in Escondido, California.
Well.
Just off the I-15.
Hi, I'm Paul Walton. Come to my resort and spa.
I could have been. Who wants to marry a multimillionaire?
I'm Paul Walton.
What did he tell us about his money last week? That he's not really as rich as
all
that?
He's land rich.
He's not liquid rich.
He's real estate rich. And if he gets the price...
I just don't know where he is right now. I tried to locate him, but I don't know where he's off.
Is he in one of the soaking pools?
I doubt that.
Do you know, has business picked up in the last week or so?
Well, you know, you would have thought it would have picked up more than it has, from the exposure, last night and the radio and the TV, but it really hasn't.
Really hasn't.
That much.
So the property is still pretty much snake-bitten?
Yeah.
Is it like Poltergeist? Did you guys build over a cemetery or something?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Well, actually, we built over a gold reserve left over by J. David Dominelli.
Really?
You built over what, honey?
Well, J. David Dominelli,
the financier
used to own
that. Yeah, he's from the California Dominellis.
The infamous
financier.
And it's supposedly, it's purported that there's some gold underneath them, their hills here.
Well, he was in the S&M. He was into sadomasochism.
Oh,
he was an
right?
Italian guy, and it's that's why
he really?
He was a Dominelli.
Would you knock it off, sir? Just tell Paul that we called, please.
No pun intended. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell Paul that you called.
Thank
What's
you.
Your number?
He's got the number.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
It's the way it's done. You go to Poland, you get a Dominatsky.
Paul Walton. So business has not worked out for him. However, I'll tell you someone who was kissed by this show and did, in fact, reap fantastic rewards.
Yes.
Do you know that the week after she appeared on this show,
yes,
Laura Korn called and said the next week after she appeared on her show, two of her books were on the New York Times bestseller list.
Man!
Right. 1 week after she was on our show, two books suddenly appeared on the national bestseller list.
I will tell you about Korn. One of the things I liked about Korn, she dressed a lot sexier. I mean, almost like trampy, and I like that. She's here talking about sex. I hope she doesn't wear the cowboy outfits anymore.
Well, I don't think she's coming back for a while.
like maybe a couple of years.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Absolutely don't worry about
Korn. Korn's coming.
All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll watch the videotape of Paul Walton, and we'll try to call him, and if he's not there, we'll follow that up with a call to the best friend of Rick Rockwell, Barry Colin. Oh, and I gotta write a note also to call the general manager of the Portland station.
Yes.
Who dated Rick Rockwell.
We're gonna be all over this thing.
Okay, good. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Don and Mike Show. Like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
We're going to get back to this marry a multimillionaire thing. We have the video now so that we can actually watch Paul Walton being interviewed on Entertainment Tonight, okay?
Paul Walton.
And everybody who listened to the show last week heard him when he was discussing how he turned down the chance to be, what is this?
Greenville Ratings.
Ah.
This is total? Number one?
Yes.
That would be number one.
Wow.
That's number one. We're number one in Greenville.
Number one in Greenville.
We're number one.
Number one.
What were we last time?
I don't know.
Do we know?
No. Number four?
Hey. We're number one in Greenville.
We have an 11.4 share.
Oh, that's great.
Greenville, South Carolina on WPEK.
Hey, way to go, WPEK. Right. Congratulations down there, you guys.
These are beautiful ratings.
That's wonderful news.
Also, men. I've got all the men demos now. 25-54, number one with a 14.6 share.
Is that number one a 12-plus number that they gave you?
Yep.
Oh, man.
25-54. Oh, well, we're only number two.
Oh, that's not good.
With a 10.5 share.
Double digits.
Men 25-49, number one with a 14.1 share.
Marvelous.
People 25-49. Number three, only a 9.1 share.
That's you're not trying hard enough.
Well, these are great ratings.
Oh, that's fantastic. All the people of Greenville, that's great. And, of course, like every other state they broadcast to.
Thank you. WPEK-FM, The Peak. That is our station in Greenville, South Carolina, where we've just received some fabulous number one Arbitron rating news.
That is delightful.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I'll roll these up and smoke them.
That's good news. I like that.
That's good.
It's nice when Charlie, and it was a very exciting moment on the show. Charlie bursts through the door, has this stack of papers, hands them to you, and it's that wonderful news.
Yes, he certainly doesn't burst in when the ratings are bad, thank goodness.
No, he does not do that.
So thank you for listening and supporting this show in Greenville, South Carolina.
For a moment, it made me forget completely about Paul Walton.
No, let's watch him now. Let's watch him on Entertainment Tonight last night as I hit play.
There's the hum of our little...
Sorely work. No, she's not, Rick. You don't know your wife as well as you think. The hospital tells ET that Darva no longer works there as a nurse. Today, Darva was busy running to the gym and away from media scrutiny. If she's wondering how Rick Rockwell came to be the guy who picked her, ET has new insight into his selection.
Here we go. Part of me actually was thinking, God, I could have...
There he is.
Paul Walton almost was the guy if he'd said yes when the show's executive producer popped the question, will you be our marrying multimillionaire?
He said, we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars finding the girl of your dreams. You give us the criteria. You tell us what color hair you want, what height, what weight, what education.
He does not look good. I'm going to freeze it there for a minute.
No, he looks a little puffier than the last time we saw him.
He looks like one of Beaver Cleaver's friends grown up now.
He does, absolutely.
He really does. Paul
Or
Walton.
He could be on My Three Sons also.
Right down to the breast size.
44-year-old Paul, who owns this San Diego area resort and spa, says the phone call came out of the blue. Producers had seen this article in New York Magazine about his hobby of getting his picture taken with the rich and famous.
There it is. There's some of the pictures we saw.
At least he's come clean with that now, that that's his hobby, that he doesn't really know those people.
Yeah, but when they said who owns this resort and spa that he wants to sell...
I'm looking for the girl of my dreams.
And he says that if it doesn't work out, he says, you can have an annulment. He says, just try to keep it for at least 3 months.
Walton felt the only thing missing from the equation was true romance, especially when he was told about the honeymoon.
They said separate rooms if for some reason you don't quite kick it off. Yeah, separate rooms would be available, but they said, remember, Paul, you're going to be the one picking the girl. She's not picking you, so you can make it the honeymoon of your life.
Paul says that even though he's tired of friends wondering why he's not
married,
he couldn't say no. Which helps open the door for Rick Rockwell.
You have to wait for love. That's the only reason for getting married, as far as I'm concerned.
There he goes.
You don't get married for TV ratings.
There it is, see? You knew he was going to do
really
that.
What happened during Darva and Rick's honeymoon?
I'm going to tell you something. That guy Rick Rockwell,
right.
he's a lizard. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, he is.
But the girl would have puked if from behind that curtain came Paul Walton.
Paul Walton, tongue extended.
Imagine
give me that birthday kiss.
Oh, Pacey, coming out with his mock turtleneck. And Paul Walton.
Paul Walton. Hey, but, you know, we got a little look at his resort there. And, you know,
as much of a flea bag as I would have thought it is.
No, it looks like actually a pretty nice place. It seems like he wants to sell it, though. And then you got to use his line, you know, it should be for love.
Yes.
He's got to be dancing right now because he did turn him down.
Castle Creek Inn, can you hold one moment, please?
Hey, it's Don and Mike again. Is Paul
hi,
around?
He's still not here.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
This is Ellie.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
You recognize my voice.
Hi.
How are you?
For New Heights Church.
Oh, hi.
Oh, you thought it was someone else.
No,
great.
Hold on. You guys, we have a switch.
You're on the air.
Because of the rain, we have two conversations going at the same time.
Can the other lady on the other line hear us?
Yeah, she can hear you, too. Can you hear Don and Mike on the radio?
Yeah,
she can hear you, too.
Hi. Are you a single lady calling for Paul Walton?
No. You're on the radio right now, Lori.
Are you calling for a reservation?
I'm calling to talk with Ellie about a reservation I've made.
Oh, yes. Plenty of good rooms are available.
What is the room rate you got?
Ellie, shall I tell him?
Yes, tell me.
Go ahead. Well, we have a pastor and his wife coming in from Fargo, North Dakota to lovely San Diego.
Yeah, hey there.
Room rate of 99.
Hey. That is the same rate that we were offered.
Heck of a deal.
Deal.
Yeah. Deal.
Deal.
Can you put a baby crib in your room?
Do you have cribs available?
Why, Don and Mike, do you need one?
Well, yes, when I come out there, I do. I sleep in one myself.
And Ellie, when I get out there, can you give me the gray and puffy suite?
I'll give you that with a crib, too.
Fantastic. Excellent.
I'd like the gray and puffy suite.
The Graham?
No, no.
The Graham fluffy suite?
No, no. Like your brother. Gray and puffy.
Gray and puffy?
Is Paul down skimming the waiting pool?
What the heck is gray and puffy?
He looked a little puffier than the last time
we saw him. He looked a little ashen.
Yeah. That's true.
His face looks a little puffier.
Yes, we just looked at him on Entertainment Tonight.
I noticed that, too, myself, that his face looks a little puffier. He's starting to look more like our mother.
Lucky.
Oh, really?
Lucky. Can you tell me what kind of mock turtleneck buffet is? Because I also noticed he was wearing this mock turtleneck that was driving me crazy.
I know. And the turtleneck didn't even look good.
What's the special for dinner?
Okay, call me back, Lori.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Right.
Hey, you might have lost that customer.
I lost the reservation.
You did, no. I think you did.
And my dad is holding on the other line.
Your dad is?
Our dad is, yeah.
Mr. Walton?
Yes.
Is he proud of your son? Is he proud of his son that his son turned down the fact to be the Marry a Millionaire guy?
I think my dad was oblivious to what was going on. Oh, our phone is cutting out.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, Ellie.
Okay, I'll talk.
All right, goodbye.
I like her. Thing is, Ellie looks exactly like Paul.
Oh, poor girl.
Yeah. With pigtails.
Both look like their mother. Like Ma Walton.
All the Waltons.
Like the widow Walton.
The Waltons.
Okay, well, we're not going to get a hold of... what'd you cue up? The Waltons music?
Yeah.
Rob, this is a joke that is wasted.
No, the Waltons. Good joke.
Paul, the Waltons.
Ellie, Mom and Dad, the Waltons.
There they are.
Paul.
Okay, all right.
Good night, Ellie.
Enough with that. All right, so Paul Walton's not there, but in fact, he was gray and puffy.
Yep.
And featured last night on Entertainment Tonight, and you called it. He was trumpeting the fact that he turned down the opportunity to be the millionaire.
And then she'll go down looking for Paul, go to that last unused suite, knock on the door. There's Paul.
Oh, my God. Hanging. Oh, I was thinking of something a little less morbid. I was thinking of, like, getting on a J.O. session or something.
Oh, that's normal stuff. I was taking it to the absolute worst case scenario.
Because the business is just falling apart?
Yeah, just, Paul in the shower, like in, in Officer and a Gentleman.
Turning on rigor mortis and stuff.
Paul Walton. Oh, no! And then the sister, being enterprising, would revitalize the inn by turning him into, having him stuffed and turning him into an attraction.
Like Roy did, with Trigger.
Right.
And this is Paul. If you go to the suite down here, you'll see Paul, as I
this
found him.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Toronto.
Tarantino.
Ma'am, do you have a Thomas Malone or Louis Marini living here?
Not anymore. They moved out a long time ago. I don't take in boarders, not for a long time.
Did they leave a forwarding address, phone number?
No.
Did they live quietly? What were their personal habits?
They were good boys, but they made a lot of racket at night. Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
It's the Bed of Don and Mike.
Also on the millionaire front, we do have two other related stories. We have the best friend of Rick Rockwell, and we have what I think is a much more interesting interview we'll do first, to call the general manager of our station in Portland, Oregon, J.J. McKay, who apparently dated Rick Rockwell.
And that will be a tremendous insight, because it'll be just another former girlfriend. This guy's got hundreds of former girlfriends.
Apparently. I bet she went all the way.
All with the story. I bet she did, too. All with stories to tell.
She's loose. She really is.
She's a dirty birdie.
I mean, I'm not talking about, like, when I said girls, how they get loose after they have a baby.
Not like that.
No, not like that. She's just loose.
Yeah.
She might be loose like that, though.
She'd have the female version of the epitaph that you would have in your tomb. She likes sex.
Me like sex. I wonder if she squeezed out any kids.
We'd have to ask.
Good question.
Don't even know if she's married.
Hello?
You have reached Portland Wrestling and the School of Hard Knocks. Ivan and Jeff Gaffori are not available to...
Portland Wrestling and the School of Hard Knocks.
I say I have dialed the absolute 100% wrong telephone number.
That was a wrestling school. I mean, that's a number we ought to file. I hope you remember the misdial.
Never.
The School of Hard Knocks. Yeah, brother.
Try this again.
Very good.
The radio
station.
Hello. Is K-Guy?
Yes.
Why do you answer the phone? Hello. Am I calling the studio?
They're live. This is JJ. I can't believe it.
JJ. Oh.
Hi, JJ. Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Hey, fine. Did I call an inside? Is this an inside line or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I got you.
All right, good.
So listen, JJ McKay, who's the general manager of our station in Portland.
Big you guys are the greatest show in the world, by the way.
Big supporter of our show. We do appreciate that.
We sure do, JJ. We really do.
JJ, tell me about when you banged Rick Rockwell.
I didn't bang Rick Rockwell.
But you didn't have sex with him?
No, he's one of the few I didn't.
But did you date him?
No, he's a friend. He's actually my best friend who owns the comedy club here in Portland. Is they're just really, really close. And so every time Rick Rockwell would come here on New Year's Eve, he would go out catting with the comedy club owner, and they're good buddies.
And did you have a lot of contact with this guy, Rick Rockwell?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're not really close friends, but, you know, I've known him over the years. I mean, it's like Rick Rockwell in Portland is a big deal.
Have you ever kissed him?
Probably.
Like a New Year's Eve kiss?
Well, no.
Any tongue?
You guys, stop.
Come on, JJ, really. I mean, listen, tell me this. The guy when we saw him on TV,
yeah.
Before we even knew about all the stuff with he wants to kill his girlfriend and everything, he looked like a lizard when we saw him on television. Will you stand up for this guy's character?
Well, I mean, I've only seen him on stage. He's an okay guy. He's not a fruit.
You know, his skin is so drawn across his face. When you're up close to him, can you see his heartbeat through the veins through the veins in his face?
Well, you know what I think is really funny about this?
What?
Is like, you know, here he's in Portland, a big deal, right? And I mean, up until this point, he's been kind of what we call an A-list comic, but he's never gotten a big break. Doing this stupid show on how to be a millionaire will probably be the biggest advancement in his career. Forget about having any talent at all. All you have to do is have some stupid show on Fox to really move ahead.
Are you serious that this guy is like a minor league celebrity really in Portland?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Really? And when you say an A-list comedian, you mean he has quite a following when he performs up there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is like, you've got to remember, this is Portland, Oregon. It doesn't take much to get us excited.
Who is more popular in Portland, do you think? Carrot Top or Rick Rockwell?
Oh, Rick Rockwell.
Rick Rockwell?
More than Carrot Top?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. That's absolutely incredible.
Well, see, New Year's Eve comes to a halt at Arby's Comedy Club because, I mean, Rick just packs the place. He's a huge deal here.
Who is more popular in Portland, do you think? David Brenner or Rick Rockwell?
Honestly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. Brenner came here to Portland about 3 weeks ago, and I think that Rockwell packs him in more.
Really? Okay, then let me move up the comedy scale.
Fine.
Is Ray Romano more popular in Portland than Rick Rockwell?
Well, seeing as the Hispanic population is less than 2%, you figure it out.
I don't get it.
I don't think Ray Romano's Hispanic.
Well, I know, but everybody, this is a way white town. They don't even know who he is.
Really? Don't they get Everybody Loves Raymond up there?
It's not a big show here in Portland.
So you're telling us that Rick Rockwell performs on New Year's
Eve. What about Chris Rock? Who's more popular in Portland, Chris Rock or Rick Rockwell?
I would have to concede Chris Rock.
Yeah. Okay, finally got the cutoff point there. You know, I will tell you that you're saying that if he's booked in a comedy club on New Year's Eve, that would mean that he's the main headliner of the year.
The Big Kahuna.
That's incredible. Now, have you seen his act?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think of it?
You know, for Portland, it's good.
For Portland,
it's good.
You keep qualifying.
What about for the rest of the country?
What about
for any other major city? What about for D.C. or Baltimore or Sacramento or Rochester?
Give me a city and then I'll give you a comparison.
All right, Rochester, New York. Would he be...
he'd be like okay.
Really? He'd be like, okay, but in Portland, he's a superstar.
Hey, man, we don't get much out here.
Do you remember any portions of his act? Is there anything he does that's particularly horrible?
He's actually a pretty mainstream comic, and I think that's part of the reason why he's always been a big draw on New Year's Eve. I mean, obviously, New Year's Eve is a big night for the comedy club here in Portland, so they don't want somebody that's really over the line. But he's, you know, he's okay.
Did he ever come on to you?
I don't know. It's hard for me to figure that stuff out now.
Did you ever see him hit on other women?
Oh, yeah.
Big time, was he kind of a whore?
Yeah.
Did he ever threaten to kill you?
Did he ever go into a place when it was really hot and there were flies flying around? Did he ever, like, catch one out of the air with his tongue?
Well, that sounds like the comic's condo, but I never went there very much.
Okay. So you, in fact, did not date Rick Rockwell, for the record.
God, no.
For the record, you haven't dated him, but you do know him.
No. I mean, I have a standard way of doing men, you know, before I got married, and basically...
What was that way, JJ?
Yeah, basically, you sleep with talent, you don't get serious with them.
Oh, wow. Boy, it must be a fun radio station you're running up there.
That's for sure. So before you got married,
yeah,
you slept with funny guys. You didn't get serious with them. And since you think that Rick Rockwell is a funny guy, can I then assume that you slept with him?
Maybe in another lifetime.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. And by the way, I'm so glad you guys aren't selling out.
Well, thank you.
By the way,
New York.
Okay, right.
They should just basically fire Opie and Anthony and put you on.
Oh, well, thank you, JJ.
Thank you, JJ.
You're welcome, guys.
Appreciate that.
Love you, mean it.
Okay, love you. No, mean it more. Thank you, JJ.
Bye-bye.
She's a tough bird to read. She's tough. And I bet she's a tough lady, too.
I bet she did everything to him. I bet the no-no spot and everything.
Listen, you talent. I'll do you, but we can't get serious.
My Lord, you are a strapping young woman.
She's got to be the loosest general manager we've ever met.
She's a lot of fun. She's really a lot of fun. And who'd have thunk Rick Rockwell would be Portland.
With no offense to JJ, who runs a great radio station and
right,
one of our biggest supporters, she's got to be 100% full of crap.
Yeah. Rob, we'll have to get calls from people in Portland letting us know where this guy stands, if this guy is a big deal.
Give me we don't have phone books like for Portland, do we?
No.
We have nothing along those lines.
Dial 00.
Father Time?
Yes.
So what I want you to do, go on the internet and find me some phone numbers in Portland.
Okay.
Like of businesses and stuff.
All right. Are we going to wait for Buzz while he does that?
Oh, no, we're going to take a commercial break.
That's a good move.
We're going to take a commercial break for Mr. Senior Assisted Living. Quite the intoxicating laugh that you get. Is there somebody from Portland already? Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, I want to talk to Donna Mike about this Rockwell guy.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, hey. I'm from the Portland area.
Yes, ma'am.
Never heard of him.
Okay, never heard of him.
Nope, but I'm out here in D.C. now, so now I've heard of him because he's on the Fox and all that kind of crap.
Well, when you lived in Portland, you never heard of him?
Never heard of him.
All right, thank you, honey.
You know, for a stand-up comedian, I totally agree with JJ that this will be a total shot in the arm. I mean, the guy will instantaneously be able to get bookings.
If he's bright enough to now use this and work it into his material.
You know, you can have any scandal in America, and if you are a comedian, you know, you'll be okay.
Hello.
What did he leave for you?
Nothing. It's an inside joke. I'm not going to... Rob, no... Again, you know, Rob does a separate show for me.
I know he does.
Every day.
Right.
Every day. It's like I get all the little notes with the jokes that are only funny to me and Rob. Loved his song, Somebody's Watching Me.
Rockwell.
I can't use that joke.
It's not totally inside.
No, come on, it's so inside.
It's
so over the top. Hello?
Hey, Donna Mike.
Yes.
Hey, this is Clint from Portland, Oregon.
Yes, hi, Clint.
Never heard of that guy.
Never heard of him, okay.
Never heard of him.
Thought so, thank you.
I know the Harvey's Comedy Club. Oh, it's not a clue.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Harvey's Comedy Club. Hey, thanks for coming by.
Here's Paul from Portland. Hello.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Paul, hi there.
Yeah, I'm from Portland. I'm a Sacramento transplant.
Yeah.
But I, the whole time living up there, never heard of the guy at all.
Never heard of him. All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Oh, now, hold on, here's a guy who says he's done comedy with Rick Rockwell.
Oh, very good.
Hello.
Everybody
hey,
knows this guy.
Hi. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Don, Mike?
We're doing great, thank you. Who's this?
Good. This is Rick. I live in Reno now.
Yes, Rick. And you've done comedy with Rick Rockwell?
Yeah, I used to open up for him at Just for Laughs up in Reno, up in Portland about 5 years ago.
So he was the headliner?
Yeah, he was really good, actually.
Really? Was he well-received by the Portland audience?
He was, especially the people who really are into comedy. He was really good. He had a pretty good show, and he never beat me or anything, but he was a pretty nice guy.
Will you hang with the guy after the show or before?
A little bit. He wasn't really into hanging out. He was just go back to his condo.
Really? Condo. That would be the comics condo.
The
one where you don't sit on the sofas, otherwise you'll itch.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. House of Jizz.
Welcome to Comics Condo.
Welcome to Carrot Top's House of Jizz.
Hey, would you like to come back to the Comic Condo?
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Hi, Matt.
I work at the SAC Comedy Theater in Portland there.
Yes, sir.
And he's been there before, and actually ever since then, we changed the name to the Ball Sack Comedy Theater.
All right. That's another fan of Rick Rockwell.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was just calling. I live in Spokane, Washington, which is like 300 miles from Portland.
Right.
And that Rick Rockwell sucks. I saw him once in Portland, and he is just a joke.
Really?
All right. Thank you for the feedback.
Okay, terrific. Yeah.
Thank you. Hello. Well, you're hearing it. You know, the entire state loves him.
Vicky.
He's big.
Yes.
Hi, Vicky. You're on the air.
Hi. Rosie O'Donnell last night was being interviewed by Pat O'Brien on Hollywood.
Yes.
And she was saying, Rick Rockwell, oh my God, I can't believe him. I used to do the comedy clubs with him. He is such a loser. He's an awful comic. I can't believe he had to go on TV and get a wife. And what a loser. I mean, she was like ragging on him.
Well, you know, I think one thing you can say about Rick Rockwell, based on his track record, I consider the guy probably overtly heterosexual, which probably bothered Rosie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Mike Show. Just who I needed to talk to.
Hi.
I had some information about Portland for some numbers for him to call.
Okay, thank you. Hold on, please.
All right.
Someone calling for you, Buzz.
Thank you. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
I am your Dick Rockwell, Buzz.
Oh, Jorge.
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 Who wants to marry a broadcaster?
Thank God. You do love Buzz, don't you?
Buzz, are you waiting for me?
No, I don't think so, Jorge, but thanks anyway.
My parents like you.
Goodbye, Jorge. Hey, Buzz, you know what? Ixnay on the phone number thing.
Okay.
Don't worry yourself about it, Father Time.
I will be your Lick Rockwell.
I think we got enough calls from Portland. I think we've already received the pulse of Portland, Oregon, that they frankly
they love him.
Don't know who he is and they could care less about him.
Absolutely.
All right, then we will follow up with the last part of this pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
In our next break, we will call Rick Rockwell's buddy.
Very good.
His buddy from the comedy club.
Excellent.
His butt buddy.
Oh, goodbye, Rick.
Oh, good, Buzz.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
So why don't we let Jeff Greenfield have a go at it first?
No, let me have a go at it.
Go ahead, David.
I wish to say that we all look forward with great pleasure to 4 years of wonderful, inspiring speeches, full of wit, poetry, music, love, and affection. Sounds more goddamn nonsense. The other is that...
You can't say that on the air, Mr. Greenfield.
Well, I'm not on the air. I was amused to have to read that Ross...
David, just let me just go in the shape. We are on the air.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Chris. You all sent me to the Redskins game last week from the Highway Love Connection.
Oh, right. Did you go with that guy that we hooked you up with?
You know, sort of.
What do you mean
sort of?
What do you mean
well,
sort of?
He didn't bother to call until Saturday morning, so I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing. And I called his house, and he had a girlfriend.
Oh, that sucks. And that really sucks. That's horrible.
Didn't we have you guys come down here separately to pick up your game tickets, though?
Yes, you did.
So even if he had a girlfriend, that means you would still be sitting next to him at the game, right?
Right.
And is that how it worked? Did he go to the game?
Yeah, he said it was cool. He said his girlfriend understood, but I didn't understand.
Oh, you know what?
That sucks.
We apologize, Chris. That is not in the spirit of the Highway Love Connection for guys with girlfriends to call.
But I'm glad you did the thing. You made that decision where they come down separately, because I think that would, otherwise it would have been no call at all, and he would have been sitting there with his girlfriend.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And this lady wouldn't have been able to go to the game.
That sucks.
I had an incredible time.
Well, how was he as a seatmate?
As a seatmate, he's a nice guy. He sent me an email today telling me it was nice meeting me, but, you know, there was no connection.
Why does the guy... Did the guy just want to go... Did he say he just wanted to go to the game? Is that the reason?
He used you and me for a ticket to see the Redskins.
Oh, that's bad.
Mike, I hate being used like a toilet.
I know. I feel so used.
I'm so sorry.
Well,
but I personally had a good time spilling my beer on people.
All right, well, as long as you listen, Chris, as long as you had a good time, that's all right. And as long as that guy knows that we now know...
We know that he was trying.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
We know that, that he should know that we know because you told us and you knew and now we know, so now he won't be able to do that again.
Right.
A pox,
oh, no.
A pox on him.
Actually, everybody I met at the game was kind of had attachments. I was a little disappointed. There weren't very many single men at the Redskins game.
But, you know, that's really, when you play that game and when you take the time and you put the energy forward to participate in the Highway Love Connection and then to have the guy do that to you, I really feel for you and I'm real sorry that happened.
Well, Chris, you should try again because on Wednesday, on Thursday, and on Friday of this week, all 3 days, we're giving away trips each day, giving away trips for two to Tampa Bay for the Redskins playoff game. That includes airfare, hotel, and tickets to the game.
That would be a good thing.
All right, keep listening.
I spoke at great lengths with your assistants there, and they really do think I look an awful lot like Julia Roberts.
Oh, really,
babe?
They were supposed to tell you that day, and I was gonna come to. I was ready to come down to see you guys that day to prove you how much I look like her.
There wouldn't be an outside chance you'd have a hairy ass, would there?
Fortunately for me, no, I don't.
Okay.
Hey, well, let me ask you, Chris, if you're cute, did this guy with a girlfriend try to get anything off you at the game?
No.
You know, did he try first base, second base, third base?
I do. When you said that, I picture this mental picture of the guy sitting there, you know, they score a touchdown, and he's like, hey! And he's waving his hands up.
That's the perfect opportunity.
He cops the field. You know, he grabs her breath.
Well, you know, that is the perfect opportunity, though.
No, I think he was too embarrassed because when I called him back and I got his answering machine and it was his name and then the other girl's name, I knew. So when I spoke to him, I knew he knew. But he didn't. There was no effort to even get me to the game. I had to take myself to the game. I had to take the metro.
Touchdown, Redskins. All right. Tongue out.
I would tell you, there is this absolute beast that sits in front of us at the stadium. There's the people who sit in our section. For Frieda Bard and myself, we have very nice people all around us. And the people in front of us, they're really very nice. It's a mom, a dad, and a son who's in his mid-20s.
Uh-huh.
She, though, looks like Broomhilda.
Oh, God.
And whenever the Redskins score a touchdown, she turns around and it's gone from just giving me a high five to where now she's kissing me on the cheek.
Right.
And it is gross, and I got her boozy, hot breath blowing in my face. And the first thing she said when I got up to the seat this week is that she turned around and she said, wow. Did you see that Tennessee play? Wow. And meanwhile, her old man.
That's a lot of tailgating for that woman.
Yeah, and her old man is just, he's already.
He's gone.
You know, he's already out of his mind drunk.
Obliterated.
Yeah, they're good people, but.
Well, I just my luck. I had the fortune of meeting the Monk's Club.
I wish there was a hot girl sitting in front of me. You met who? Oh, the guys who wear the Monk's uniforms?
They invited me back to their limo.
Oh, really? And did you go?
I did not.
It's a good thing you didn't because it probably would have been 5-on-1 sex.
One met me and then they all came running out to meet me.
They don't wear anything under those robes.
They'll come lifting up their robes.
Yeah, and they don't shower game day either.
They said they had the hottest going limo in the parking lot and I gracefully said, no thank you.
Yeah, they would ask you to come back to the limo and show you the cheese sticks.
Yeah, right.
That's what they would have said. The Monk's cheese stick.
How about some cheese head? All right, Chris, thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
Thank,
thank you all for the fun. I just wanted to let you guys know I had a great time, and I'll come down anytime to see you guys.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Well, come on down on Friday with the Harry Ash Show.
Am I being the super cynic to think she was looking for something more there? I hope not.
No, you know. I believe that.
She was just disappointed, and she wanted to share it with us.
Yeah, I don't think that she was purposely trolling for tickets for the Tampa Bay game.
I don't think she was looking for tickets for the Tampa Bay game.
Wanted a prize?
I think she might have wanted a date. I think she might have wanted us to hook her up with somebody.
Well, sure.
If
that's the case, she should just be direct and call back.
That's true, absolutely. I just got the impression that maybe she would have liked us to hook her up with it. She was happy about the game, but I think she was more interested in finding love. Anybody that plays that game, at least the people that pull over to the side of the road, the women, I think, are looking for companionship.
That is a bummer that guy had a girlfriend.
Oh, you know, that guy
goes against the spirit of the Highway Love Connection. If you've got an old lady at home or you got an old man at home, you shouldn't be playing our dating game.
Man, what kind of guy does that? I mean, you're really just going, hey, I really want to go to the game. I don't care who I sit next to. I want to go to the game. Yeah, you don't mind, do you, honey? I really want to go to the game. I'm sure his girlfriend couldn't have been, like, doing cartwheels that he was doing that.
Hey, do we have that guy's phone number on file?
Hope we do.
You know we do.
Let me ask you, bro. I bet we have to have his number since we gave him the tickets.
We can talk to him.
I'd love to call the rat up. Do you have a phone number for that guy, Charlie?
I'll go get it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I knew you'd have it. Sure. Yeah, Gadget loves that. You can tell. I mean, he's a little extra spring in his step for that one.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I was interested in that that girl that just called up about the tickets.
Oh, you mean you were interested in her?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the Julia Roberts thing.
I went to the Redskin game and didn't meet anybody.
Right. Well, all right. Hold on. If she calls back, we'll let you know.
All right.
Okay. Good. Goodbye.
And what we didn't tell you is that's one of the monks.
Hello.
Hey, this is Mike.
Don and Mike show. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing today?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, did you happen to see the Showtime boxing match this weekend?
Ixnay.
Oh wow! You missed the Johnny Tapia. This is a lightweight boxer. He won the title.
Johnny Tapia.
Right. And Jim Gray happened to be doing the post-fight interviews. And the first thing he asked him if he would apologize to Pete Rose.
In the post-fight interview?
Yes,
you mean
yes.
The boxer said that to him?
Yes. I got it on tape. You want to hear it?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Ready to go.
Why not?
All right, here we go.
Poor kid Jim Gray.
He'll never be forgotten.
Johnny Tapia, congratulations to you. Johnny, after your loss, did you question that you might not have the fire? You were scared in the locker room before, and you had told us that a lot of great fighters can't come back after a loss. How concerned were you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to give a lot of thanks to Fish. Would you do me one big favor while we're here? Please, would you say sorry to Rose? Please.
This, Johnny Tapia. You want to address the fight?
That is funny.
Wow.
That is... Now, that is funny.
That is funny. A boxer after a fight. I mean, after a fight to have the presence of mind to do that, that is pretty cool.
Would
on the
you please
front.
Apologize to Pete Rose?
Please say sorry, Pete Rose.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, it's Chris. You told me to call back.
I knew it.
Uh-huh.
Chris, okay, hold on a second.
I was not pimping for tickets to Tampa Bay.
No, I know you weren't doing that.
I was pimping for a new prize.
I know you weren't looking for a prize, but would I be accurate in saying that maybe you wouldn't mind if we were able to hook you up with somebody else?
Well, you all would be more than welcome to help me find somebody. I had a very tough year.
So then are you...
That's good. I know there's nothing wrong with that either.
Does it matter to you who we hook you up with?
Well, it can't be Dennis Murphy.
Really? Sorry, Dennis. Sorry.
All right, she's got the sense. She's got the sense.
We could hold some interviews or something.
I tell you what.
I'm open for anything except for
Dennis?
People that are not.
Yeah.
Hold on, Dennis. Chris, I tell you what. Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
All right, if you want a date, what you're going to have to do is come down here so me and Mike can eyeball you.
I would love to. Okay. Thank you. I finally got my invitation.
All right. Fair. As soon as you come down here, any day this week, anytime you come down, let us get a good look at you so we can describe you. We would be glad to hook you up on a free day.
And before we call the guy, now did the guy fess up to you about the girlfriend thing? It's not like a roommate, right? Did he mention the girl that he had a girlfriend when he
said? No, he fessed up. He said she understood.
All right, hold on. Let me try to get him on the line as long as Chris is here.
Very good.
This is Nels, right?
Yes.
Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Devan Patton.
Right. And also, like... Isn't Nels Olson on Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on a second. Here we go.
Nels Olson?
He runs the Mercantile.
Is it Nels Olson, any relation to Merlin Olson or what?
No.
Or is that his name on the show, his character name?
It's Nelly's father. Nelly was named for Nels.
Nelly. You know, the Mercantile.
Of course.
All right, let me see. Chris?
Yeah?
All right, well, you know what? If he's not there, you can leave him a mean message, I guess. Tell me the son of a bitch.
You want me to?
Sure. I mean, say whatever you want to. Far be it from me to put words in your mouth, but son of a bitch would be good.
Hi, you've reached Devan and Nels. We're unable to take your call right now, so please leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
She leaves.
Go ahead.
Hey, Nels, it's Chris. from the Redskins game. I just wanted to let you know that I'm talking to Don and Mike about my disappointment about the fact that you were not single. You did not play the game right.
Hey.
Hey, we got the guy.
Hey.
There he is.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
That's a nasty, low-rent, lousy, blow-down move. You're on the air.
Really?
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Hey, listen, you bastard. What are you doing? You got a girlfriend and you play the Highway Love Connection?
Yeah.
That's pretty low down and dirty.
That ain't right, man.
You owe this woman a big-time apology.
Well, I apologize for that misconception there, but we had a good time.
No, there's no misconception.
You broke the rules. You know the rules of the Highway Love Connection. It's for single people. It's for people that are not attached. It's the love connection. That's why we call it that. Yeah.
You know what you have to do now? You have to just sit down and listen. Chris,
yeah?
Why don't you just go ahead? Both barrels. Just let this guy have it.
No, you son of a bitch.
No! That's good. Come on, work it up now.
I am so disappointed. I thought for sure I would have a match. I would have a ride to the game. You didn't call me till Saturday morning. I waited all day Friday to get my phone call. Didn't get my phone call on Friday. Got it Saturday morning. You weren't home. I had to drive myself to the game. No dinner. No nothing. I was a little disappointed. I have to say, I went home. Thankfully, the Redskins won, or else it would have been a total waste. But I was thoroughly disappointed in your behavior.
Nels?
Yes?
Hey, Chris?
Yes?
Would you like to call him an asshole?
Asshole.
Go ahead. Say a little louder. That's nice. That feels nice.
Thank you, Nels. Thanks, Nels, for taking the time to take our call.
Hey, thanks for the tickets, guys.
Okay. All right, asshole.
Thank you. Now, listen, Chris.
Yes, sir.
You have the open invitation to come down anytime. Make it soon. We'll hook you up, okay?
I will be there tomorrow.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Chris.
Bye.
All right, goodbye now. Goodbye.
It took a little tweaking, but she had it in her. You know, you heard she had a bad year.
Hello, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm the one who lost. The first one that was on, and I was in Northeast, and you told me don't get out of the car.
Oh, I remember you. Right.
But you know, I didn't call ever for, I really wanted just the tickets. But when I hung up the phone, when you told me I lost,
yeah.
Four guys showed up immediately afterwards, like within 2 seconds, four guys showed up.
Oh, that's
and
too bad.
But the second one, I'd really like to get in touch with him because he was really cute.
All right, now let me just bring everybody up to speed. When we did the Highway Love Connection last week, this girl, Cindy, she was in an awful part of D.C.
She was in a bad neighborhood, and you know, she didn't get a lot of guys coming out at the very beginning.
Bad part of town. She couldn't get a guy to show up in 60 seconds, so we moved on to the next girl. But what she's saying is that guys did show up after the 60 seconds, including a guy that she'd be interested in seeing again.
And you didn't by any chance get his name, did you?
No. Because I was just focused on the tickets and the fact I lost.
Well, why don't you just...
You know, on the way home, I'm thinking, you have that delay, the second, what is it, 7 second delay?
Right.
Or something? Well, so he's still on the radio hearing me still being on time. You see what I'm saying? Like, according to him, I still had 5 seconds to go.
I think you're overthinking it a little bit.
I'm stretching it, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Do you know what the guy looked like? So maybe you could describe him?
Yeah, dark hair and it was like pulled back in a little ponytail in a red car.
But dark hair pulled back in a ponytail.
And he worked for the Red Cross?
No, we had a red car.
Yeah, we had a red car.
Uh-huh. Right, he lived in the same city I did.
All right, Cindy, if he calls, we will give him your information.
Thank you. Can you give my cell phone number?
Yes. Hold on, please. We need to get that from you, though.
All right.
All right, hold on, Cindy.
Okay.
All right, this is a little clearinghouse of love today.
Right, and Dennis, what do you want?
Oh, no, I just want to talk about the kid last night. I wanted to ask something else.
Well, you were loaded, right?
Oh, no, hold on. Let me bring everybody up to speed. When we heard the tape of Dennis Murphy in the Night of 100 Elvises, at the end of the tape, when he interviewed Charlie Stossel's brother, it was a drunk man interviewing a more drunk man.
I wasn't drunk, Don. I admit I had a couple beers, but I had to, slow down so I could drive home.
Nah, you were so drunk.
I hope you didn't drive home, Dennis.
Oh, no, I waited an hour and a half to drive.
Dennis, how about that one part where you went,
I know. Yeah. I do that a lot.
Hey, Dennis, come on. You've been at my home, and you got loaded at my home. I know what you're like when you get drunk.
Could I do odd to you?
What?
Could I do ah to you also?
Yeah, in the morning you did.
Did he do ah to you?
Yeah, in the morning you did. I really almost had to call a hazardous waste team
right,
to come in.
Goodbye, Dennis.
But, no, but I just want to let you know, Gil cannot have pleasant words for you. I have to edit the tape.
Who did not have pleasant words for
Gil, Donald.
Why did he not have pleasant words for
him? He called you a blankhead, and also he does not like the way you are exploiting the Stocko family on the air.
Well, you know, you didn't edit, Dennis, but how could you possibly edit because you were...
I erased it. You remember when you heard the car?
What did he call us, dickheads?
No.
F-heads?
No, you want to get the air gone?
Just tell me what...
S-heads. Was it F?
No, no.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
Thanks, Dennis.
Goodness sakes.
Thanks so much.
Right, well, thanks just for saying it.
I wanted to tell you.
I know I wanted you to tell me, but I didn't want you to tell me. You could just give me the initial, Dennis.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Don.
That's all right.
No, but
it'll add a little drama for Friday's show when Charlie Stossel comes down. We'll ask him why his brother is so hostile.
Okay.
All right.
Could I be judged on Friday?
No. Goodbye.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Okay. Mike?
Yes, Dennis?
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Gone?
What?
Have a pleasant night.
Goodbye.
Bug?
Yes, Dennis.
As always, I love you.
I love you, Dennis.
Bye.
Hang up.
Hello?
Hang up.
There he goes.
There he goes.
I always forget that every now and then. It takes like, it's like every 6 months or so, Dennis is like a super rat, too. He really is. You know,
he
like
is.
He's a super, you gotta be careful. Even when he's loaded, you gotta be careful what you say to Dennis.
Quick break, we'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
While I was trying to figure out why the guy was saying what he was saying, Nikki just hit him. No matter how big a guy might be, Nikki would take him on. You beat Nikki with fists, he comes back with a bat. You beat him with a knife, he comes back with a gun. And if you beat him with a gun, you better kill him. Because he'll keep coming back and back until one of you is dead.
Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and their pockets full of gold.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Everybody listening, a chance to win a prize if you can answer a correct amount of questions about us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that on this sex quiz, which I pulled off the internet off emo.com,
emo.
There are 25 questions. So, to win at this contest, if someone calls and, for instance, plays with me or plays with you or plays with Buzz,
right,
to match our answers, how many out of 25 do you think? You think like 18 out of 25?
Yeah,
yes. The question,
yeah, 18 out of 25 is perfect.
I'll tell you, the questions are not impossible.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody, Rob A.,
yes.
You know what? Let's make it, yesterday there was only one or two that lost. Let's make it 20 out of 25. I think 20 out of 25 would raise the bar a little bit.
All right, so you got to get 20 out of 25. We'll find out how well you know everybody on the Don and Mike Show. And Charlie Broyhill, would you, hey, Robbie, make sure that Broyhill's listening to this. And gets out a piece of paper to write down his answer.
I gave him a piece of paper. He's ready to go.
Oh, he's ready. He's listening and he's standing
right
by.
Are you ready also, Rob? Okay, here we go. Sex quiz.
We just write down our answers.
Yes. This is just a chance for me and Mike and Buzz and Rob and Charlie to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had an interracial love partner?
Okay.
Have you ever had sex in your parents' house? Have you ever been spanked during sex? Not a playful tap, an actual spank.
Okay.
Have you ever used sex toys prior to or during intercourse?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever engaged in phone sex?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever masturbated while watching pornography?
We got real quiet in here for a minute. Oh, we're busy writing.
Have you ever had sex while watching pornography?
This music.
Have you ever worn a strap-on item during sex?
Oh, okay.
These questions, obviously, this is a question. Most of these questions can be either male or female.
Okay.
Have you ever had sex on an airplane? Have you ever had sex with a total stranger? Have you ever had sex with more than one sexual partner at a time? Have you ever fantasy role played during sex? Have you ever had sex with a member of the same sex? Have you ever... ever passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex? Well, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Well, that's question 16. Have you ever been videotaped while having sex?
Now, what number are we on now?
16.
Okay. That was 16.
Okay. Hold on, let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15... 16.
Right.
Right. Well, I only got 24 questions, not 25.
Oh, okay.
All right. Have you ever...
We'll make it 19 out of 24, then.
Fine.
All right.
Have you ever had sex in the workplace?
Okay.
Have you ever had sex with your boss? Have you ever viewed pornography on your office computer? Have you ever had sex while menstruating?
What do we all do? Put a slash there, or you know?
While she, I guess,
right,
was menstruating.
Oh, okay. So for a woman, yeah. Okay.
All okay, right. You got it. Because, like I said, this is like a unisex type mm-hmm. thing. Have you ever had sexual thoughts about your mother?
Okay.
Have you ever had sexual thoughts about coworkers?
Yes, Doc.
Have you ever had sexual thoughts about coworkers' spouses? I think they're talking about during your entire employment.
Oh yeah,
life.
Not just here.
Oh,
he does qualify.
Have you ever let others watch you have sexual relations?
Oh dear.
Those are the questions on today's sexual quiz.
Wonderful questions.
Those are really wonderful questions. So, we've all answered. It'll be kind of this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 24 20, 22. 24 questions.
Mm-hmm.
24.
You have to get 19 out of 24.
So if you want to play, call right now on the toll-free line at 1-877-365-3636.
Yeah, it's a little quiet in here. It's a little oogie in here right now.
When it's all done, I think we should also compare how many no answers we each gave.
All right, do you think that's important?
I do, because yes answers tend to make you a little more randy than no answers do on this day.
Well, I think we'll get a nice clear picture of that, Mr. Eager, before
Eager yeah, Beaver.
Before it's over. And why would you
pardon the pun?
Fun? Why would you be eager? But he must have something.
He must have a lot of no's. That's why.
Just thought it would be fun. That's all.
Okay. Well, let's try one before the break. Okay. Let's go to. JR. Hello, JR.
Hi.
Hi, JR. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jeannie.
Area.
You're calling from where, sir?
Sacramento area.
Sacramento area.
Yeah. I'd like to play six, please.
Yeah, JR.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, JR, you'll play with me.
Okay.
You'll play with me with Donnie. If you get 19 out of 24,
19,
then you will win the Sopranos prize pack. Let's see how well you know me. Have I ever had an interracial love partner?
No.
That is wrong, I have.
Who?
Okay.
Who? None of your business. Have I ever had sex in my parents' house?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Have I ever been spanked during sex? Not a playful tap, but a real spank.
If not, you should have been, so yes.
No. What was that answer? What was his answer?
He said yes.
He said yes, okay.
But the answer is no.
Frida.
Yeah, go ahead, call Frida. Have I ever used sex toys prior to or during intercourse?
No.
That is yes.
You have.
Well, I count like motion lotion and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Okay. Mm-hmm. Have I ever engaged in phone sex?
Yeah.
No.
On your show you have.
Come on, that's not real phone sex. I don't get off.
Dope.
Have I ever masturbated while watching porno?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Have I ever had sex while watching porno?
Yes.
No, I have not.
Oh, man.
Have I ever worn strap-on items during sex?
No.
That's right. Have I ever had sex on an airplane?
Yes.
Correct again. Have I ever had sex with a total stranger?
No.
Right again. Have I had more than one sexual partner at a time?
This is Dawn, right? Not Buzz.
Right. Yeah, no. Your answer is no, and that is correct. Have I ever fantasy role played during sex?
Yes.
No, I have not. Have I ever had sex with a member of the same sex?
No.
Right. Have I ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
Yes. Have I ever passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex?
Yes.
Yes. Have I ever been videotaped while having sex?
Yes.
No, I have not. To the best of my knowledge, I have not. Have I ever had sex in the workplace?
Yes.
Yes, I have. Have I ever had sex with my boss?
No.
That is yes.
The interracial one, huh?
No. Have I ever viewed porno on my office's computer?
Yes.
Yes. Have I had sex while menstruating?
Yes.
Yes. Have I ever had sexual thoughts about my mother?
Yes.
No! Jesus Christ. Have I ever...
By you not thinking about it means you have.
Have I ever had sexual thoughts about my coworkers?
Yes.
Yes, I have. Have I ever had sexual thoughts about my coworkers' spouses?
Yes.
Yes, damn right. Have I ever let others watch me having sexual relations?
No.
I'm sorry, the answer is yes, once in Detroit.
But they have a video camera, right?
No, when I let these guys watch me have sex with a midget for money. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 4, only 14 right.
14 right.
Sorry.
14
hey,
out of all of them.
Thank you for letting me play.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right,
and Buzz, for your little survey, let me count my nose here. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
Is that what you guys come up with? I have 10 no's?
I don't know what, I mean, I wasn't keeping track of yours, but.
10. 10 out of 24 no's.
10 no's.
10 out of 24.
No.
Okay.
No.
Let's do Mike before the break.
Oh.
And then we'll come back and we'll do everybody else.
Oh, well, it's all going to come out now.
Hello, Mark.
Yes.
Mark, where are you calling from, sir?
Fredericksburg.
Mark, you're going to play with Mike. You're going to play the sex quiz with Mike.
All right, great.
All righty.
Turn your radio down, Mark.
Okay, it is.
Remember, you have to get 19 out of 24 to win the Sopranos prize pack.
Okay, great. I think I can do it.
Mike, please keep track of his score.
Yes, I will, Don.
Has Mike ever had an interracial love partner?
Yes.
Unfortunately, no.
Has Mike ever had sex in his parents' house?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Has Mike ever been spanked during sex? Not a playful tap, but an actual spank.
I know he enjoyed, but probably not.
That's my answer. No, I have not, sir.
Has Mike ever used sex toys prior to or during intercourse?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Has Mike ever engaged in phone sex?
Yes.
Oh, sir, yes, I have.
Has Mike ever masturbated while watching pornography?
Definitely.
Definitely. He's putting down the same words that I put down. Yes. The answer would be definitely.
Has Mike ever had sex while watching pornography?
Yes.
Ah, you must be there. You're doing very well. Yes, that's a match.
Has Mike ever worn strap-on items during sex?
Never.
That's good. Nope, I haven't.
Has Mike ever had sex on an airplane?
Yes.
I wish, but no, I have not.
Has Mike ever
had... club, huh?
Nope.
Has Mike ever had sex with a total stranger?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have. I'm so very sorry.
Has Mike had more than one sexual partner at a time?
No.
No, you're right. I haven't.
Has Mike ever fantasy role played during sex?
No.
No, I haven't. I have not.
Has Mike ever had sex with a member of the same sex?
Never.
Never? No.
Liar! Liar!
No.
Has Mike ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
No, I have not.
Has Mike ever passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex?
No.
Nope, you're right about that. I haven't.
Wait.
What?
You've never passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex?
Well, I thought you meant same sex.
No. Remember, that was the question that was like the freebie.
Oh, right.
Have you ever passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex? It's like a trick question.
All right, and what was his answer?
Oh, you got
He said no.
Did you think it was same sex, too, the question?
Yes, I did.
I just, for some reason, because of the way that the...
All right, we'll give that one to you.
All right, sure. Yeah.
Has Mike ever been videotaped while having sex?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Has Mike ever had sex in the workplace?
No.
Wrong.
Yes. Has Mike ever had sex with his boss?
No.
You're right, no.
Has Mike ever viewed pornography on the office computer?
Yes.
Yes.
Has Mike ever had sex while menstruating?
Yes.
No.
Has Mike ever had sexual thoughts about his mother?
No, never.
Thank you, no.
Has Mike ever had sexual thoughts about coworkers?
Yes.
Yes.
Has Mike ever had sexual thoughts about coworkers' spouses?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes. 1,000 times, yes.
And has Mike ever let others watch him having sexual relations?
I wouldn't think so, no.
No, you are right about that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Add them up. How many did he get right?
How many? 20 out of 24.
Hey, he's a winner, winner, winner.
Big winner. Way to go. Right. You know me well. You know me well.
You have won the Sopranos prize pack.
Great.
Meaning you get the hat, the shirt, the CD, the book. Don't miss Sopranos Sunday night on HBO. And Mike, for the record, how many no answers out of 24 did you have?
Oh, God. Okay, let me see. All right, one.
For the buzz scale.
Thank you.
How many no's?
Mm-hmm. 13 no's.
Wow. 13 no's? Okay.
13 no's, yes. I guess I may be the most frigid of all of us.
Really?
Wow.
Okay, Mark, thank you, my friend.
All right, can I give a shout-out to Uncle Ed and listen in Mechanicsburg?
No, thank you, though. when we come back, I think we'll do it the same order we did yesterday.
Very good.
Buzz.
Yes.
Then Rob. Mm-hmm. Then Wild Card, Charlie Broyhill.
Get ready for the kink.
This is the Dawn and Mike.
Batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
About the weather and other things during the commercials.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you now, because I know you're not doing carpool today.
It doesn't matter whether I'm doing carpool or not. I'm not going to answer. I don't care for myself, really and truly. I'm not going to answer so that Kurt has one skirt that has a little bit of propriety.
So you don't want any of these questions known publicly about yourself?
Because what do I care? I talk about this stuff with my mother. I'd tell it to anybody.
Oh, no, seriously, though, I think we have an open relationship with Bart. I think that pretty much anything he asks us about our past or what we've done, we always just answer him and tell him the truth.
That's true, but when I told you that yesterday and Bart was in the car with me, he said, thank you, Mom.
Okay.
All right. Besides, I'm finding it very, very interesting just with you, learning things I didn't know, like your airplane thing, which I had no idea.
I did have a life before I met you.
Well, I guess a life with about 39 women in it. I guess you did have a life.
Yeah. Oh, and I got the quiz about that last night.
Oh, boy.
When I got home, she said, 40. How could the number be 40? I said, honey, I told you. When I got into radio, when I was 15, when I got into radio.
Right.
For the first.
You were a slut.
For the first 5 years I was in radio, I picked up a girl two a week on the telephone. And I'm not proud of this, but I would pick up any girl off the telephone and boom, we'd get it on.
You know, the next time I get married, I'm hiring a private detective and I'm going to know these things because really I was thinking to myself, I didn't say this to you because it's kind of a moot point now, but if I had known the stuff I just learned yesterday, I would have thought twice about getting married. I didn't know the bankruptcy. I didn't know how many people you'd been with. I didn't know a lot that I've learned listening to your show.
See, this is good for us.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that
but
way.
But none of it was a secret. And like with being bankrupt, I was positive you knew that because my mom and dad signed the papers.
What? No, boo-boo. There's plenty I didn't know when I married you. But, you know.
When I had, at one point, just a mountain of credit card bills.
Now, is that just broke or you actually went through and filed and all?
No, I actually filed. I was 20 years old. I was broke.
Wow. Did you know that, Mike?
I think he might have mentioned it to me like a long time ago.
Yeah, see, I mean,
it's not a secret.
We were talking about money or something, and, you know, I think that might happen. It's when I was teetering on the edge.
It's not a secret.
It's when I was working with Don, though, and, you know, we were making a good living at the time, but I you know, it's my gambling debts.
I was making no money and had my credit cards all maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, honey. Well, if you don't want to take the test, I'll move on to Buzz.
All right, good. Bye,
okay.
Katie.
Love you.
Love you, too.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh, those Caribbean land swindles.
Yeah, I got the old interrogation last night when I got home.
Really?
Wow. 40, really? 40 women.
40 women.
I said,
and
yeah.
How much time, Luke?
I think so. An hour.
Yeah, well, you know, when you reveal yourself, and I think we've been working together, all of us, so long here.
Right.
You know, when we do this, and with the listening audience, it's the same kind of comfort zone where we feel okay letting these things go.
Hey, what's the point of lying about it?
It's just different, I suppose, when you walk through your front door a little bit. Of course it is, because that's the woman you are sleeping with.
I said to her, you know, it's the truth. 39 were before I met you.
There you go.
Sorry, you know.
And you know what's great about that whole thing? You can always say, hey, I'm no Charlie Broyhill.
He was only that ahead of me, Mike.
Not
that many.
Don't look at it as a competition, aren't you?
Oh, no. Buzz, are you ready to play?
Ready to go.
All right, let's go with Aubrey. Hi, Aubrey.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Fairfax,
listening on good old WJFK. You're going to play with Buzz.
Okay.
Hi, Aubrey.
Hi, Buzz.
If you get 19 out of 24, you're a big winner.
You're going to be keeping her score,
yes,
right, Buzz?
I am. Mm-hmm. Has Buzz ever had an interracial love partner?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
So the eyebrows go up. Yeah. Oh,
has Buzz ever had sex in his parents' house?
Yes.
Yes again.
Has Buzz ever been spanked during sex? Not a playful spank, but a real hard spank.
Oh, yes.
The answer is no.
Oh. Has Buzz ever used sex toys prior to or during intercourse?
Yes.
That's correct.
Has Buzz ever engaged in phone sex?
Yes.
Yes is right.
Has Buzz ever masturbated while watching porno?
Yes.
That makes it so far 3-for-3 with all of us.
Has Buzz ever had sex while watching pornography?
Yes.
Has Buzz ever worn strap-on items during sex?
Yes.
No.
I would have guessed yes too, Aubrey.
I thought he did that here in the studio.
See, but he wasn't having...
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he was, but he wasn't.
That's right.
That was a...
He was getting no real gratification.
That was a party that he had that thing on his head.
They would say that, you know, we would say he was doing that for our own amusement.
There was no actual contact.
That's right.
Has Buzz ever had sex on an airplane?
No.
That's correct. No.
Has Buzz ever had sex with a total stranger?
Yes.
Yes.
Has Buzz ever had more than one sexual partner at a time?
Yes.
Matter of public record, yes.
Oh, there you go, Mr. Naughty.
Has Buzz ever fantasy role played during sex?
Yes.
No.
Has Buzz ever had sex with a member of the same sex?
No.
No.
Has Buzz ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
Yes. Has Buzz ever passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex?
Yes, of course.
That's a dumb one there.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you,
that's right,
in the quiz. Just printed it out and read it to you.
Considering, you know, some people might have had sex without passionately kissing.
Has Buzz ever been videotaped while having sex?
Yes.
No.
Has Buzz ever had sex in the workplace?
No.
Yes.
Sorry.
Has Buzz ever had sex with his boss?
No.
Yes.
Has Buzz ever viewed pornography on his office computer?
Yes.
No.
Oh, really?
Wait a minute.
No, I think that you got to go with that yes with that one because I think you have definitely looked at...
we've had websites up in here you've looked at stuff here.
You know, if you're thinking literally about your computer, that's not what either way I answer.
No, I mean, we've pulled sites up here in the studio and they're back in the producer's room.
You know. I wouldn't consider what we've pulled up in here pornography, but we'll give her yes on that since we've gone to adult websites.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Buzz, have you ever had sex while menstruating?
Yes. I'm sorry.
She answered at the same time.
Yes. Right.
Buzz, have you ever had sexual thoughts about your mother?
No.
No.
Buzz, have you ever had sexual thoughts about coworkers?
Yes.
Yes is right.
Buzz, have you ever had sexual thoughts about coworker spouses?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course.
Buzz, have you ever let others watch you while having sexual relations?
Again, a matter of public record?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, how many did she get correct out of 24, Buzz?
She got 19 out of 24.
Hey, that's it.
That's a winner.
You win.
Yay.
That's a winner. Aubrey, you've also won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss New Sopranos Sunday night on HBO.
Thank you.
I think I actually heard Aubrey squeak there for a second.
And Buzz?
Yes.
The all-important Buzz-O-Meter.
Uh-huh.
How many questions did you answer no to?
I had 8 no answers, which means I've had the lowest number of no answers so far.
He's the dirtiest birdie of all of us.
He sure is.
Proud. That's right.
He sure is. Hold on, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. All right.
Okay, it's time for Robbie Spiewak. Hi.
Hiya, go. Pal.
Ready for Mary Poppins? Here we go.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Craig.
Yeah.
Hi, Craig. Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. Rockville.
Craig, you are going to play with Robbie Spiewak.
I don't know if I like the sound of that.
I like that. If you get 19 out of 24, you're a winner.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Has Rob Spiewak ever had an interracial love partner?
Yes.
No. Sorry, buddy.
Has Rob Spiewak ever had sex in his parents' house?
Yes, he lives there.
Not anymore, Craig. Yes, I have.
That's a yes. Has Rob ever been spanked during sex? Not a playful tap, but a real spank.
No.
That is a match. No spanking.
Has Rob ever used sex toys prior to or during intercourse?
Yes.
Now, would an Etch-a-Sketch be a sex toy?
Come on, Rob.
Yes, that's a match.
Yes.
That's a match.
Yes. Has Rob ever engaged in phone sex?
Yes.
No.
Liar.
Has Rob ever... Well, I didn't either. I would tell you if I did. Has
Rob this guy.
Rob, my guy was testy, too. He didn't like my answers either.
They're jealous.
Has Rob ever masturbated while watching pornography?
Yes,
but not today.
Has Rob ever had sex while watching pornography?
No.
I'm afraid I have.
Oh.
Has Rob ever worn strap-on items during sex?
Yes.
What the hell is the matter with you? No.
Very docile with this particular guy here.
Has Rob ever had sex on an airplane?
No.
No is right. That's a match.
Has Rob ever had sex with a total stranger?
No.
That's a match.
Has Rob ever had more than one sexual partner at a time?
No.
Not for any lack of trying, but that's a match.
Has Rob ever fantasy role-played during sex?
No.
One time I pretended I was Craig. No, I never had.
Has Rob ever had sex with a member of the same sex?
No.
No.
Has Rob ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
No.
Has Rob ever passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex?
Yes.
Thank you for the votes. Yes.
Has Rob ever been videotaped while having sex?
No.
That's a match.
Has Rob ever had sex in the workplace?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Has Rob ever had sex with his boss?
No.
Is Miss Bobby my boss? No, I have not.
Has Rob ever viewed pornography on the office computer?
Yes.
Of course.
Wallpaper.
Has Rob ever had sex while menstruating?
Yes.
That's true.
Has Rob ever had sexual thoughts about his mother?
No.
Thank you.
Incidentally, I have had sexual thoughts about Rob's mother.
I'll be sure to pass it along.
Has Rob ever had sexual thoughts about his coworkers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Has Rob ever had sexual thoughts about coworkers' spouses?
Yeah. Rob and I were comparing notes on that one during the commercial break, and it was the same coworker's spouse, too.
Oh, really?
Yes, that motivated us.
Who was it?
Oh, no. No. Big trouble if we reveal that.
Yes.
Yeah, Confucius say you shouldn't reveal things if the guy's big enough to hurt you.
And have you ever let others watch you having sex, Rob?
No.
No is right.
I think we may have the world record no here, though. Yeah.
How many did he get correct, Robbie?
He got 18 right.
Oh, that is...
Not enough to win.
I've been listening to you before you and Mike were together, and I've been listening to you and Mike ever since the wave of days.
Appreciate it, but you still do not win. Thank you, Craig. And Rob, for the buzzometer, how many no's did you have?
Young Americans aspire to this. 15 no's.
15 no's. He's a Boy Scout, ladies and gentlemen.
15 no's. And now, the wild card.
Here he comes.
Charlie Broyhill.
Hello.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is it Delilah or Delilah?
Delia.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Delia. Where are you calling from?
Baltimore.
Delia, thank you for listening. You're going to be playing with our producer, Charles Broyhill.
He's going to be the hardest, isn't he?
Say hi to Charlie, Delia.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, he's a wild card. If you get 19 out of 24, you're a winner.
Okay.
Is that many?
Yep. That's the same scale we've all had.
She doesn't have the curve left over from yesterday.
No, she doesn't. Has Charlie ever had an interracial love partner?
I'm going to say yes.
No.
Has Charlie ever had sex at his parents' house?
Yes,
I have.
Has Charlie ever been spanked during sex? Not a playful tap, but a real spank?
No.
No, I have not.
Has Charlie ever used sex toys prior to or during intercourse?
Does that include food?
Yes. I'll say yes.
Yes, I have.
Has Charlie ever engaged in phone sex?
Yes.
Has Charlie ever masturbated while watching pornography?
Oh, I don't even like to think about that.
Yes,
I have.
Really?
Hey, what?
Really, you perv.
I know.
You know, everybody else said yes.
Four for four, I'd like to point that out.
No, okay.
Five for five.
Of course we are.
Five for five.
Has Charles ever had sex while watching pornography?
Yes.
No.
Sorry.
Has Charles ever worn strap-on items during sex?
No,
I haven't.
Nylons don't count.
Has Charles ever had sex on an airplane?
Yes.
No.
Has Charlie ever had sex with a total stranger?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Has Charlie ever had more than one sexual partner at a time?
Yes.
No.
Hey, it's very boring.
Has Charlie ever fantasy role played during sex?
No.
No, I haven't.
Has Charlie ever had sex with a member of the same sex?
No.
No, I haven't.
Has Charlie ever had sex at a public place?
Yes.
Has Charlie ever passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex?
No,
opposite sex, honey.
Oh, yes. Of course.
That's the freebie for everybody.
Everybody gets a little hung up on that.
That's like getting 400 on your SATs for signing your name.
Absolutely.
Has Charlie
had the mind of a child.
Has Charlie ever been videotaped while having sex?
No.
No, I haven't.
Has Charlie ever had sex in the workplace?
Yes.
That's the only, for a while there, I think it was the only place he had it.
Has Charlie ever had sex with his boss?
No.
Do wives count?
Come on.
No.
You.
Really?
You. Charlie was referring to the fact that he's had sex with both of our wives.
His name is Charles, but close friends call him Charlie. He's behind bars.
Yes. Has Charlie ever viewed pornography on the office computer?
Yes,
I have.
Has Charlie ever had sex while menstruating?
Yes,
I have.
Has Charlie ever had sexual thoughts about his mother?
No.
No.
I mean, yes, that's right. The answer correct. Is no. Has Charlie ever had sexual thoughts about coworkers?
Coworkers. Wives?
No, co-workers.
Oh, co-workers. I'm going to say no. Yes. Say yes.
What is your answer?
Yes.
Duh.
Yes, I do.
Has Charlie ever had sexual thoughts about co-workers' spouses?
Yes.
Well, now that goes back to number five.
Come on, just answer. Just answer.
Yes, she said yes, and he matched her.
And, Charlie, have you ever let others, Delia, has Charlie ever let others watch him have sex?
No.
No, I haven't.
That's correct.
How many did she get right there, Charlie?
18.
Not thick enough, Delia.
Sorry, Delia.
Thank you.
Not thick enough. Thank you, though, honey.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Charlie, for the record, how many no answers did you have?
14.
Hey, we got two Boy Scouts here.
14.
How about that?
So, Buzz, on your scale,
Rob had 15 no's. Charlie Broyhill had 14. You, Don, had 10. Mike, you had 13. And I had 8.
Ah, so, Buzz, you're the dirty birdie of the group.
Far and away.
Yeah, all right. Yes, big winner, Buzz. At least the rest of us are in double digits.
There you go.
I was barely in double digits.
But, Don, you and I are the only two who've tasted the forbidden fruit of hot interracial love.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. I just like to say, you know, on my behalf here, you know, in my early years, it wasn't for lack of trying,
okay? Of course, of course.
And I'd like to announce her name.
Yes.
Her name is Colette.
There you go!
And she works at the front desk here at WJFK.
Congratulations!
And we just did it before the show today.
Right.
That's the first time I tasted that forbidden fruit. Right before the show today.
I'll have to thank Colette for you. Absolutely.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
The actual retail price of the barbecue is $6.29. That we might offer Jamie.
Well, we have a new coffee pot and a beautiful armoire.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The bed of Don and Mike.
How long have you been married?
No.
2 years.
2 years.
2 years.
Do you have sex all the time?
Actually are right now.
Do you guys all the time, though?
Apparently. We have 2 kids in 13 months.
That's incredible. Let's give him a round of applause for that.
Bravo! No, I definitely enjoy relations with my wife.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You don't do it the bad place, do you?
I didn't hear her.
That must mean yes.
I didn't hear her.
There's not been an immediate answer.
That's not a yes. That's a... No.
Okay. No, the answer is no. We should bring out the quiz again. You know, maybe Michael and his wife.
Yeah, how would you like to take that sexual quiz?
I'll take the quiz.
You'll take the quiz? Excellent.
All right,
here we go.
Wait a minute. What did I do?
And you know, since you guys have been married for 2 years, you might actually be like Don's wife, where you find out something that you didn't know before.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I don't want.
You don't want to take the quiz now?
No. Come on. Here's 25 questions.
Okay.
25 questions for Michael White.
You want to give you an answer right off the bat?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you ever had an interracial love partner?
Interracial meaning, about Asian people? Is that
fine? Would be interracial?
Okay,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Have you ever had sex in your parents' home?
Yes.
Have you ever been spanked during sex? Not a playful tap, but a spank.
I'm putting the microphone over here.
Michael, have you?
No.
No. Have you ever used sex toys prior to or during intercourse?
Yes.
Yes.
An affirmative.
Have you ever engaged in phone sex?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever
proud of it?
Have you ever masturbated while watching porno?
Absolutely.
Have you ever had sex while watching porno?
See, she learned something.
You didn't know that about all men do that.
Just so you know, he is the sixth man to take this quiz today. We are 6-for-6 on that.
We all agree on that. Have you ever had sex while watching porno?
Soft porn.
Yes, that would be a yes.
That counts.
Have you ever worn strap-on items during sex?
Absolutely not.
No.
No chance.
Have you ever had sex on an airplane?
Yes, I have. Mile High Club!
Have you ever had sex with a total stranger?
No, I haven't.
Okay, no. Have you ever had more than one sexual partner at a time?
No.
Have you ever fantasy role-played during sex?
Not really. That's a no.
Lisa was very definitive with that. She was shaking her head like she knew. This is his quiz, Lisa.
I don't think you're his first, Lisa.
As if she was there all the time.
Michael, and I know that you'll be glad to answer this one once and for all for the skating question. Have you ever had sex with a member of the same sex?
Not a chance.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever passionately kissed a member of the opposite sex? Now, that's like a trick question, so think about it.
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. Okay. Have you ever been videotaped while having sex?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever...
Tonya Harding has. I know that.
Have you had sex in the workplace?
No.
No.
That would be sex on the ice, I guess.
See, but my workplace is all over the country sometimes, so in ice arena... Yeah, actually, I have them.
You have them.
So you've had it at the rink?
Yeah.
Really?
All right, very good.
Have you ever had sex with your boss?
No.
No. Have you ever viewed pornography on an office computer?
Yeah, my office is my home office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever had sex while menstruating? This would be while your wife or a previous lover was menstruating.
Yes.
Yes. Have you ever had sexual thoughts about your mother?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had sexual thoughts about coworkers?
Yes.
Yes. Have you ever had sexual thoughts about coworker spouses?
No.
Nope. And have you ever let others watch you having sexual relations?
No.
No.
That is the completion of the quiz. Were you writing down his answers?
Yeah, I've got his nose right here.
Now, the way we are judging this is by the number of nose.
7, 8.
The way you answer. And
are you ready for this?
You
have the exact same number as me, you perv. 10 nose out of 24.
Yeah.
10 nose out
of
24.
Way to go, Michael.
Yeah. You're quite the perv.
Who was the Boy Scout today? Was it Rob?
Yeah.
How many nose did you have, Rob?
Wasn't it 15?
15 nose for Rob Spiewak.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. However, Buzz was worse than either you or me, Michael. Buzz had how many nos? Eight?
Eight.
Eight nos for Buzz.
Eight nos. Buzz doing just about everything.
Lisa, would you like to take this test? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm fine.
Really?
Much like your wife, she refuses to take the test.
Yes, she does.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
And at running back number 44, Curtis Enos.
Same to DJ.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Hey, honey.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, hello.
What are you doing?
I'm paying bills. Yeah.
Hey, you know what's great about our weekend?
What's that?
I'll tell you right now. Daytime sex.
Daytime the best kind of sex.
Fantastic.
The only kind we ever have anymore.
I love having daytime sex.
I know you do. You're too sleepy at night.
We had the whole place to ourselves on Saturday.
Wow.
Bar was out. And, about 1:30, I made my move.
Right.
And I got my usual rebuttal. No. Wait until tonight.
Which is many times not the good thing to do because at night it doesn't... come across as...
You
got to take advantage of the moment.
We had the house all to ourselves.
Right.
It was the middle of the day. We didn't have to worry about shutting the door.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to worry about anybody walking in on us.
You do it right in the middle of the kitchen.
Yeah, but you just wait till you get bored. There's nothing good on TV. I'm in the middle of something.
I have been planning that all day long.
Why don't you give me a heads up at the beginning of the day and we can schedule a time. I'll open my day planner and I'll see when...
Well, now, how spontaneous is that? That's exactly what I hate. That's what I hate when I put the move on my wife. And how sad that is that we've been married almost 19 years. I still have to put the move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't go and get it.
I think most men are in your situation, Don. Yeah. You can't just simply clap your hands and let it happen.
That I got to put the move on. And so many times, 9 times out of 10, I put the move...
The move requires kissing me. And that's really torture. Sorry about that.
I put the move on. And then when I put the move on, there's like some kissing. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little petting. And then she grabs my hand and puts it down by the side, and she says, later.
Go away.
Tonight.
Chucky, spontaneous for you is inconvenient for me. Why don't we do when it's spontaneous for me?
When would you like to have love that is spontaneous? See, but by me even asking you that,
then it's not spontaneous.
You take the spontaneous out of it.
If I tell you when I'd like it, you can't ask me when, because then it does take the spontaneous.
But I know when. What? I know for you when it would be.
When?
Any night at 11 o'clock.
That's a good time.
Right, and what am I always doing at 11 o'clock?
You're sleeping off your martinis.
Sleeping.
Sleeping off his martinis.
That's
and
right.
Except for the function we went to at my son's school, I had no martinis this weekend.
Oh.
All right.
Except for the three that I had on Saturday night.
At school, where you're telling me to bet on things like golf carts, and I knew the martinis were hitting you.
All right, honey, well, I just love announcing when we do something for us that's really...
outstanding, and that was outstanding for us.
All right. Well, made me happy too, Boo.
And we had daytime sex on Saturday, went to this function Saturday night, and then Sunday, what a nuclear family we are.
We were the perfect 50s family yesterday.
While my wife was sewing down on the sewing machine,
right.
I will have you know that I jacked the car up and changed the oil myself.
Oh, bravo.
That's right.
That's not just changing the tire. Changing the oil. That's going a little extra.
Noodled it through.
That's good.
Had some bad experiences, though, at Track Auto yesterday that I'll be telling you about.
Make you feel inadequate as a man when you get in there?
No. Simply, it's a testimonial to the... Not only to the people who shop at Track Auto,
mm-hmm.
but to the people who work at Track Auto.
A little bad experience.
Two bad experiences, you should say. Tell you about that, though. Love you. Oh, listen, the other thing I want to know. When you went to get your hair done on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
did you tell that woman I'm not sick?
No, but we chatted about you.
All right.
She said that stuff really will make your hair stop falling out, that you should really use those 10 products that she sold you.
I will.
Somebody trying to sell you some products for your hair?
Yeah.
I will tell you, this is a wacky, wacky story about how I had to get my hair cut on Saturday, and I tried to go to Haircutter or someplace like that at the mall.
Right.
And you walk in, and everybody and their family is in there on Saturday.
Saturday's haircut day.
It's impossible. So I called my wife up, and I said, listen, get me in somewhere to get my hair cut. So she got me into this girly salon that she goes to.
Right.
And when I got there, the first thing I did, I sit down, and they give me the shampoo and all that jazz.
Right.
And then she sits down in the chair, and she starts talking to me. And it's obviously, when you look at my hair, now I haven't had my hair cut for 3 months since I got my head shaved.
Right.
And so it's like growing in.
I laugh at that because I think of people tuning in for the first time. I haven't had my hair cut for 6 months since I got my head shaved. That just makes me laugh when you say that.
Well, I lost the bet.
That's right. Way back when you lost the bet about the, TIC.
So it was back at Thanksgiving time, and so the hair was growing in weird, different ways.
Right.
And I sat down in the chair, and I could see she's looking at
me. Sorry, I had to finish that.
T-I-T.
A-N-I-C, yes.
She looks at my head, and she says, when is the last time you had a haircut? And I said, 3 months ago, because I lost a bet, and I had to get my head shaved, and I haven't had a haircut since.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman, who is incidentally not from this country,
right,
tapped me on the shoulder and went, oh, how are you feeling now? And I said, I feel fine. I said, I feel fine. And she said, okay.
Obviously, she didn't hear the lost the bet part.
She keeps cutting the hair, and then she says, it's growing back so nicely. But you're feeling better, right? And, and then at that point, I felt like I had to make the point. So I said very loudly, I do a radio show. I lost a bet on the radio, which is why I had to get my head shaved.
You didn't have brain surgery or anything like that.
Which made everybody else in the place, made every other head in the place turn and look at me. But on this lady, it was still wasted.
Right.
Because, again, I got the reassuring squeeze. She says,
mm-hmm.
Don't worry. Don't worry. How are you feeling now? You feeling okay?
Feeling tense. Very tense.
So she cuts my hair, and she did a decent job cutting my hair. I'm very happy with the haircut.
That's good.
And because this is the place that my wife goes to, I felt obligated to listen to the spiel about the type of shampoo I should be using and all this other garbage. So they loaded me up with this stuff.
Shaggy Bear, they spot you coming a mile away.
Well, I know you go to this place, and I didn't want to be inhospitable, so I thought what she's selling me is like regular shampoo.
Right.
She says, oh, with your hair, I got a shampoo you should be using,
mm-hmm.
and I got the goo you should be putting in your hair. I said, fine, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I got home. I opened up the package, and I look at it right in the front. It says, for thinning hair.
Oh, dear.
And it's like some...
Rogaine?
Yeah, very close to Rogaine.
Right. It includes a strainer, so you can see how much hair you're not losing now.
You mean a strainer? Do you put that down like in the bottom of the shower?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, she sold me a load of goods. I mean, she sold me a bill of goods. She sold me
a strainer.
Wow.
A plastic strainer. I've never heard of that attachment coming with the shampoo.
Well, the products that she sold me are from France.
Ah,
if that gives any indication of the quality of these products.
This is made with genuine underarm hair.
I came home, and I said to Frida, I was all pissed off. I walked in the door, and she says, hey, your hair looks great. I said, yeah, well, first of all, the lady thinks I have cancer.
Oh, God.
And second, she sold me all this crap for thinning hair. Frida said, well, you should have told her that you weren't sick.
Right.
And you should have told her that you didn't want the junk. And I said, well, what am I supposed to say? It's your place. It's your place. It's a girl's place. Mm-hmm. And I was the only man sitting in there.
Oh, that's always a drag.
You know, and all those... Well, how women do this when they go, like, to a salon, and they look... It's just like monsters sitting there with that big clumps of hair going one way and going the other way. And the right. big
You ever see
like,
the foil where they pull the hair through the foil?
Yes.
Oh,
got
I've
the
seen
goo.
Men sit like that.
It's kind of like they got plaster of Paris in their hair.
Yeah, I hate that.
No, I've seen men sit like that with the hair going in the wrapped up in aluminum foil.
I mean, it's highlights, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then, as a matter of fact, when I was getting a manicure, they had this stuff manicure for men. I said, do you do many men here? They said, oh, hold on.
God, manicure?
Yeah.
You know what my man...
Nail clippers.
You know my manicure is right here, baby. My mouth.
Oh, do you ever clip with clippers?
No need. Look how beautiful that is. All done by mouth. Hand to mouth.
Well, coincidentally, that's the way they do men's nails there. They just chew on them.
Yeah, they chew. Somebody has real sharp teeth to chew them all.
Right. Well, that's all I had for you. All the rest I can say without you.
Oh, are you sure?
Yes.
All right, good.
All right, love you.
I love you too. Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Put me in this real girly place.
Are you going to use the products?
I have. I paid $40 for them.
So you're using the shampoo?
Damn right.
It looks like it's thicker. It looks like
and well conditioned.
you came close.
I almost.
Oh, did you? That was almost very spontaneous.
Only because you could see what word my mouth was forming.
That's Monday back at work. Yes, the weekend is now over. We're back at work now.
You almost got a real one there.
No, I did.
Because you know how I am about my hair to begin with.
Well, I mean, I didn't actually know that you'd gone that long without getting a haircut. I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's come back now all the way. So
3 months.
So hopefully no hair bets this year.
And then she trimmed my eyebrows.
That's always, right. The big like the couple of big long ones that grow out,
yeah.
So you don't look like Andy Rooney.
And then she asked, "Do I want her to trim my beard?" And I said, "No, I do that at home." And she looked at it and she said, "Yes, yes, you do a nice job." Oh, what about the nose? And I said,
oh.
No.
Never had that offer.
No, thanks.
No. She trimmed the nose hairs?
No, she would have.
Oh, she's gross.
And then she started telling me a whole story because she was applying this crap to my hair, and then she got to my bald spot, which
right.
is now slightly bigger than an egg. And as she was going hair, skin, when she got to skin, she said, oh. Like, oh, look what I've discovered up here.
Oh, man.
And I'm looking at her in the mirror, and I said, yeah, my bald spot's getting bigger.
Right.
She said, how old are you? I said, I'm 41. I'll be 42 this year. She says, oh, my husband, he started to lose his hair about your age. But you know what happened? Do you have any hair on your chest? I said, no, I have no hair on my chest. She says, he lose all his hair from his head. But he got hair on his chest. So he's so happy now.
Oh, God.
He's so happy now.
Oh, that's very reassuring. I'm sure that meant a great deal to you.
And then again, with a squeeze on the shoulder. I'm feeling okay.
You're feeling okay. Yeah.
Listen, honey, I didn't have brain surgery.
I bet she gets a little piece of that action with all that goo that she sold
I
you.
I think Frida told me I was an absolute idiot for buying that junk.
The French product.
I said, well, it's your place.
Does your hair squeak after you wash it? It's the only way I judge shampoo is if my hair squeaks after I rinse it out.
No,
it's like probably got all the goo in it and stuff.
The stuff she gave me has a funky smell. Have you ever smelled? Well, now this smell is fresh in my mind because I'm coming right off of that major cold sore.
Mm-hmm.
You ever smell like Ambisol?
Yeah, it's got like a medicinal smell.
Ambisol, which smells
alcohol smell,
which smells a little bit like that stuff that you rub on your chest.
Vicks VapoRub.
Yes,
right.
That
kind of like, does it make you like tingle and stuff?
Yes, that is the smell of the goo that I'm currently putting in my hair.
The smell of goo.
The smell of goo in the morning.
Goo in the morning.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, welcome to our show.
Tune for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Okay, who's got the biggest penis in Hollywood?
Don Johnson.
He's on the list, you know that.
Yeah, I'm Burrow.
Milton Burrow, you know that.
Sure.
I've got some others that I bet you didn't know.
Milton Burrow and Don Johnson, that's about it.
On the big penis list?
Tommy Lee, of course.
Yes. Sean Connery's supposed to have a giant penis.
Oh, that's great. You see right now the
Zeta.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Zeta.
I'm going to take out my penis. If you don't think it's the largest you've seen, then you're going out the window.
In his pre-celebrity days, the James Bond star eked out a living by posing nude for art classes.
Take a look at this. This is the Connery Salami.
Sean Connery has a magnificent penis.
Now, that's funny. I'd like to find out how they find that out, yeah. You know.
How you doing?
Hey, good to see you.
I'm Randy Kravitz.
Ladies and gentlemen, before I go, I'll tell you, you've been a great house. I'd like to do a little song about my incredibly large penis.
And from the Dear and Departed list, you have Steve McQueen, Michael Landon, Frank Sinatra, and Cary Grant.
I think Frank Sinatra, people would be happy to hear that.
Sure. Hey, chairman of the board, look at this, huh?
Okay, now, who has the smallest penis...
Strap me down.
Who has the smallest penis in the history of Hollywood? I will give you clues.
David Spade.
No, he's dead.
All right.
This guy with the smallest penis is dead.
David Spade is dead?
No, it's not David Spade.
All right.
He stood a towering 6'4". This deceased movie star king and an Academy Award winner had a teeny weenie, the smallest weenie in the history of Hollywood.
When you say movie star king, you're talking about somebody who was at the top of the game? Was
absolutely.
He didn't play kings or
no,
anything like that?
No, movie star king.
An Academy Award
and
winner.
And an Academy Award winner.
And he's dead now.
He's very dead.
Jimmy Stewart?
No. Buzzy, you want to guess?
Gary Cooper.
No, Gary Cooper, no.
Henry Fonda?
No.
I'm trying to think of movie star kings.
Yeah, it's tough now.
Can you give us a hint?
Errol Flynn.
No. If I give you a hint, it'll be too obvious.
Okay, I'm just going through all the... John Wayne.
Yes.
Oh!
Yes.
A teeny weenie.
John Wayne.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not into showing it to you.
The smallest man in Hollywood history.
It looks like a mosquito bite. Huzzah, huzzah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Gene.
Yes.
Hey, Gene. Hi, Gene. Hi, Gene.
Try oral hygiene. I've heard them all. I was just going to give you guys a call. I lost both my grandparents back before Christmas, and wanted to let you know that I really appreciate your show. It's one of the few things we have down here that picked me up, and no BS, it was really welcomed.
And you realize this show not only can be entertaining and make you forget your troubles, but it's also educational, because if you weren't listening, you wouldn't know that John Wayne's penis was so small.
A hyphen, Webster's Dictionary defines, is a symbol used to divide a compound word or a single word.
Here he is, Mr. Small Penis.
Himself an Afro-American, a Mexican-American, Italian-American, Irish-American, Jewish-American. What he's saying is, I'm a divided American. Well, we all came from other places.
This is John Wayne.
Different creeds, different races, to form a nation, to become as one. Yet look at the harm a lion has done.
Small penis.
Simple little line, and yet as divisive as a lion can get. A crooked cross the Nazis
Rooster Cogburn.
Time bomb. The lives of men.
It's pretty heavy stuff he's talking about.
None of these could ever fan the flames of hate.
My little weenie.
The hyphen.
The hyphen, that's what they call his penis.
Yes. Russian hammer built a wall that locks men's hearts from freedom's law. Crooked cross flew overhead above 20 million tragic dead.
Oh, boy.
Among them,
this is the Duke getting real heavy here.
Huzzah. Freedom's preservation.
Yeah, I have a small penis.
Hyphen is a line that's small.
Like my penis.
A bridge or be a wall. A bridge can save you lots of time.
Like my penis.
A wall you always have to climb.
I'll tell you right now, it's tough to drop trowel and look like a little boy down there.
Used as a bridge, it can span all the differences of
men. Oh, I don't want to hear the rest of this.
Couldn't use his penis as a bridge.
Dumb song.
Bridge would come a little short, huzzah.
Come a little short. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Donna, Mike, how are you?
Hi there, Jennifer.
I've been waiting for a long time for you guys to talk about this. A few years ago, you had a guy on that was an author of a penis book. Is this the same book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's the name of the book?
It's a new book. He's coming out with a new book. He's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. The book is called Penis Size and Enlargement. That's the name of the book. Good title.
Is there any dirt on celebrities that have had penis enlargement surgery?
That I don't know.
Be interesting.
Don't know.
That technology wasn't around.
Didn't exist.
When the Duke was making pictures.
Didn't exist. Why? What do you want there, Jennifer?
Well, I want went to Borders a couple years ago, and they just, you know, looked at me like I was insane because I was trying to find that book, and I didn't know the name of it.
The penis book. Okay, yeah, well, we're going to have him on in a few weeks, and I'm sure he'll be plugging the crap out of it.
Okay, and the other thing is, you know that not only did David have a really big one, Sean supposedly had a really big one, which, of course, leads you right to Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy!
All right, why do I picture this woman with, like, a room full of czars?
I'm Jack Cassidy. I have a giant penis. I am bisexual.
It's very large, and I share it with both men and women. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Look at my penis. It's gigantic. Oh, I've set my penis on fire.
Oh, no. That's going to cause the entire building to go down.
What right-minded woman wouldn't be interested in a large-sized penis?
I'm Jack Cassidy. Oh, my God. My penis is on fire.
There's nothing I can do to stop it. My penis is not equipped with a sprinkler.
Someone called my son David and my son Sean and my wife Shirley Jones. My penis has caught on fire.
Hello, 911, send out 4 alarms. My penis is on fire.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual.
Oh, look at that. Magnificent blue flames.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Love you guys.
I love you. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh, brother.
Still burning.
Strangely enough, it doesn't even hurt.
Hello, Dallas.
King of the smoking poles, what's up?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, I've got a website for you guys you need to take a look at.
It's what's
called
that?
www.metalsludge.com.
Yeah, what is it?
What it is a bunch of groupies have gotten together and formed lists of rock stars and how they perform in bed and how they're equipped.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I thought we lost you.
Thought you were gone for a moment. All right.
Oh, no. What they do is they go on and they say stuff like they did Axl Rose and they said something about he's all potatoes and no meat.
Right. Gotcha. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Don't even worry about Charlie.
Oh, Charlie was going to hook it up on the website. Don't worry about it.
That was Sam Ardinger, Joe's brother.
Hello, Dirk.
Hey, I think he's wrong about Costner. Costner showed it in a movie.
What movie did Kevin Costner show his penis?
He got cut out. He got circumcised out of For the Love of the Game.
Okay. Oh, the baseball movie,
baseball,
right.
One. And those of us who got to see the original cut of it, so to speak, it created audible laughter.
It's true.
In the theater.
I remember that story, Buzz. You had a news story about that, didn't
Absolutely.
You?
Yeah, the test audiences, of which I guess this guy was a member, actually laughed.
A member.
Kevin showed his thing.
I'll tell you what it says right here. Kevin Costner. After Universal Pictures axed his full frontal nudity shower scene from The Love of the Game, Costner griped that audiences would be hurt by not seeing him in all of his glory. It is reported that Kevin Costner is gigantic.
Yeah, that's spin, I believe.
Ah, probably is. I mean,
right,
maybe.
Thank you.
You know, unless he inflates to.
You know, if he's using that
Jennifer
for
Scott.
Only, you know, for his only basis. If that's the only way he's going by a comment made by Kevin Costner, we'll have to pin the author down on
of
that.
Of course, you know, to give Kevin Costner the benefit of the doubt, if this scene in the movie was he's coming out of a shower.
Right.
You know.
If it was a cold shower.
And he's, you know, he's being photographed, and there's a bunch of guys standing around.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine you're going to come out and go, hey,
who
wants to go take some batting practice?
Penis there, Don.
pardon me, what about penis?
It sounds like you're going a long way to defend Kevin Costner's penis.
Yes, I am.
He's yes, always like Kevin Costner.
And proud of
yes,
it.
Yes, I am. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Well, if I won't defend Kevin Costner's penis, who will?
You know, I would have thought that in Waterworld you would see his penis if they were going to do that. You know, that thing where he's drinking his own urine.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Frank.
Yes, I'm calling from California. I've been to Grauman's Chinese Theater down there where they put the footprints in the cement.
Yes.
And I've always noticed as John Wayne's boot prints in the cement are surprisingly very small.
Oh, well, ask there anybody, you go.
Ask anybody who's seen them, because I've been over there, and they look like little tiny shoe prints.
Is there a direct correlation, though, between the size of the feet and the size
I'm
of the feet?
I'm guessing now that there might be.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. You are.
Bye-bye.
I'll tell you right now, I have a size 4 shoe. And a teeny weeny. Why is John Wayne's small penis the funniest one?
because he's John Wayne.
He's the Duke.
The Duke.
Rooster Cogburn.
The Duke.
There you go, Missy, with Catherine Hepburn. Take a look at this, yaha.
Hey, John. I'm Jack Cassidy. Look at my penis. It's gigantic and on fire.
Oh, my goodness. You better watch out there, Jack. You're going to catch the whole building on fire.
Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.